Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
And you just heard the ad for City Tractor. We thank them. The presenting sponsor on Wednesdays of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, and online at KGYMradio.com. If you're a regular listener to the program, you already know this. Wednesdays are a full house around here. Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, will be with us at 4:30. We will head to Chicago at 5:02 tonight. Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News and the Big Ten Network contributor set to join us as the conference held its annual basketball media days today near O'Hare Airport. And Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com answering your fantasy football questions tonight at 6:15. You can get them to us early on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600. All that plus at 5:30 tonight, your opportunity to take home tickets to see Disturbed at the U.S. Cellular Center next week. So last minute opportunity for you to get some hands on some concert tickets coming up for you if you can answer 7 questions in 60 seconds, or at least answer more than your opponent. Alex, boy, oh boy, we got a lot of ground to cover today. Not only do we have Big Ten basketball, and I had some other stuff that we'll get to, but what a kickoff to Major League Baseball's postseason last night. The Nationals trailing 3-0 almost before I could pull into my driveway, and I'm thinking, man, I picked the wrong team here. And then what a way to, unless you're a Brewers fan, what a way to win that game.
I watched from, I want to say there were bases loaded in the bottom of the eighth when I tuned in, and I pretty much saw the whole game. It was an exciting finish. Josh Hader is in the game, and you're thinking the National season is over with. The Nationals found another way to bow out early in the playoffs. And the misplay in right field, when Juan Soto hit the single into right field, it was just mass chaos. He overran the ball by like 3 feet. There must have been some English on it, but just a crazy start to the Major League Baseball playoffs.
A, what were you doing when you were 20 years old? Because that's how old Juan Soto is, the hero of the game last night for the Nationals. It's hard to believe that he's as young as he is, but he came up relatively at the same time as Ronald Acuna Jr. did a year ago with the Atlanta Braves. And Trent Grisham, the right fielder for the Brewers, who made the key mistake that allowed the Nationals to win a 3-run single, basically. A tough break, a good young player, and as was noted by, I believe it was Scott Unash who pointed out, Christian Yelich would normally be occupying right field for the Milwaukee Brewers if he were healthy. I actually had a really good feeling when Josh Hader came into the game last night for the Nationals. He was good this year, but he wasn't exactly great. I mean, he had a 2.62 earned run average, and while that is a very good ERA, it does mean that people were able to get to him. And I thought a really great game, a great way to start the postseason. Max Scherzer getting knocked around a little bit. They don't give MVPs for wild card games, but Steven Strasburg would probably get my vote for last night. He came in and pitched well in relief and kept Milwaukee from opening a larger lead, kept it at 3 runs, and that is what allowed ultimately the Nationals to wind up winning. We've got more postseason baseball tonight as it's the American League's turn to take center stage here on KGYM. Oakland hosting Tampa Bay, two teams that I perennially right off at the beginning of the season, never give them enough credit. Oakland with the ability to do more with less, and Tampa, which seems to almost be an East Coast version of the A's at this point. Sean Manaea and Charlie Morton, the pitching matchup. Charlie Morton, an outstanding year for Tampa. And Sean Manaea, who pitched for Iowa baseball coach Rick Heller at Indiana State, working his way back from Tommy John surgery this season, coming back in the second half of the year. I've gone back and forth on this one. I think Charlie Morton gives the Rays a little bit of an advantage here from a starting pitching standpoint, but Oakland has a lot of surprising thump in that lineup. And if they can put the some wood on the ball tonight, I think Oakland can make it 2-for-2 as far as home teams tonight. This is a very evenly lined game in terms of betting at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. I know that Oakland is about a minus 130 favorite on the money line. So there's not really a whole lot of margin for error here for either one of these teams. I think odds makers and most baseball fans are expecting a nice, tight game this evening.
Like we saw last night. I think that baseball so desperately needs the wild card game. I think it's working. I really do. I saw some conversation on Twitter about that last night, whether or not a 162-game season should come down to one game. And this is not a new debate. This comes up every single year. But I think I look at the state of baseball right now, and you see the rich getting richer. You see the teams at the top pulling away because so many teams are tanking. We saw 4 100-win teams this year and I think 5 100-loss teams. There's a discrepancy. There aren't a lot of pennant races. There was one pennant race that came down to the wire, that came down to the final day. It was the NL Central. And you saw the two teams at the top losing their way into that spot. So baseball is lacking the pennant races. It's lacking that intrigue at the end of the season because there's such a big divide between the top teams and the lower teams that they need these types of games. They need this type of intrigue and one-game situations to boost this product at the end of the season. So I think the wild card game is doing exactly what it was meant to do.
Before we get too much further down the baseball rabbit hole, for those of you who have not seen this, we've talked about Carson King for the better part of last two, almost 3 weeks here in the state of Iowa, the young man who raised a tremendous amount of money, just shy of $3 million for the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital. He wound up on Monday about $41,000 shy of getting to $3 million. He took money that was sent to him to his Venmo account and was going to donate it. And then Venmo and Anheuser-Busch decided that they were going to match anyone's contributions. And it took off from there. It got a lot of national attention. Alex, the Anheuser-Busch distributors across the state of Iowa came together and chipped in $41,000 on top of what was believed to be the final donation on Monday, to make it an even $3 million raised for the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital. There's not much you can say, right?
No, this story that took a strange turn, I think, is found its footing on what it should be. And it's just, it's one of those situations where, like you've said many times, Todd, there's no way that you or I could have, or in a lot of people out there would have had the foresight to make this type of an impact. So it's a great story to see. Now I have a question. Is it $3 million that Carson King alone has raised? So is it going to be matched by?
No, it's $1 million.
Okay. That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Still a tremendous contribution to the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital, and a good on the Busch Light distributors, the Anheuser-Busch InBev family here within the state of Iowa, for scrounging up $41,000 between all of the distributors. And
I know there's one in Mount Pleasant. I drive by it every time I go home.
Crossing the finish line to $3 million. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Let's get to a very important update from Tuesday's edition of the program. We will get to more Big Ten basketball discussion later on in the program today with Mike DeCourcy as the Big Ten held its media day in Chicago. The news there, Fran McCaffrey saying that they expect to play without Jordan Bohannon this year. However, it'll be a bonus if he does or is able to play. Bohannon missing, expected to miss the season with a hip injury. If you were listening to last night's program in the 6 o'clock hour, you know that I revealed I got a text message from my wife that said I was going to kill her because she gave my son $2 to spend at a yard sale.
Mm-hmm.
And we were speculating what could possibly be this bad that I would have that feeling when I walked in the door last night. The overwhelming opinion was that it was going to be a musical instrument.
Yeah, something that made a lot of noise.
A lot of people thought drums. It was not. The answer was a fire truck that lights up and makes a tremendous amount of noise. And as such, my son, who is 3, it brought him a tremendous amount of joy last night. And I thought, wow, how could anybody possibly spend $2 better than my son did? And then today I found myself at the same sale. I dropped him off at school, and St. Jude's Church is having its parish wide yard sale. I think it's raising money for an organization in Haiti. And so I just said, okay, I'm going to pop in here and I'm going to see what I can come up with for $2 that could possibly be on par with my son's purchase of the really cool fire truck. I told him that like 5 or 6 times last night. I was like, that's really cool. And it took me roughly 3 minutes. I'm inside the door, second table that I go to. There it is. A framed, autographed photo of former Iowa basketball coach Steve Alford.
Wait.
It was a nice frame. I couldn't pass the frame up.
Okay.
So there
you have
it.
How much did you say you spend?
$2.
$2.
I wound up spending a little bit more than that because I did come across a couple. This was my find today. There was a paper towel tube that had some posters in it. And the outside of the paper towel tube said, old Hawkeye posters. And I have some stuff that I collect, and old Hawkeye posters happen to be right up my alley. So I'm thinking, okay, let's peel these open and see, you know, was it the 2015 football schedule poster or something like that? No. Wound up being 3 posters.
Tax Slayer Bowl poster?
Not the Tax Slayer Bowl poster either. I think I brought one of those back from Jacksonville, if I recall correctly. That was the height of Tennessee football. Remember, that was going to launch the Volunteers into the next stratosphere.
That's
and all it did was
season.
Launch Butch Jones closer to being the next head coach at Rutgers. The Chuck Long, Larry Station, and Ronnie Harmon all had posters during the 1985 football season that had Iowa's football schedule on them. And I've wanted to add the Chuck Long and Larry Station posters to my collection for the last couple of years. I see them at Fry Fest every year, and I just can never bring myself to pull the trigger on purchasing them because they're significantly more than what I paid for them at this yard sale. And I wound up getting these 3 posters, including the Ronnie Harmon one, which I hadn't seen before ever. I got all 3 of them for $1 today. And I was so excited. I mean, I could not get out of there fast enough when I opened the posters and saw who was on there, and especially the Ronnie Harmon. I dropped him 3 times on the way to checking out.
Oh, my gosh.
But I got out of there with the posters, and they're at home now, along with the autographed photo of Steve Alford and a couple other things that I found. And it made me wonder, what's the best find that you, the listener, have come across at a yard sale, a rummage sale, or a secondhand store? 319-366-1600. I used to go to garage sales all the time with my mom when I was a kid. My first baseball glove was Mark Dukes' ears will perk up. when he hears this. My first baseball glove was a Harmon Killebrew Wilson model baseball glove that I got at a garage sale that had maybe about 1/16th of an inch of leather in the palm. But I'll tell you what that old baseball glove did. It taught me to catch the ball properly, because if I missed, I darn near had a broken hand. 319-366-1600. You can use the Hertzien and Stocker Jewelers text line to answer that question as well. But we've got Josh in Ely with us. Josh, what have you found over the years?
Thanks, guys, for taking my call. I just literally turned on the radio. Goodwill, a couple years ago, they had all the Halloween garbage out. The old school, all plastic Riddell helmets.
Yeah.
And full of all like that the kids can just throw on and go out. Looked on the opposite side of one of the helmets on the Tiger Hawk, and it was a Kirk Ferentz autographed $2 Riddell helmet. So I've held on to it. His autograph is pretty distinct, and if you're forging Kirk Ferentz Riddell helmet autographs, you've got a problem, so I assume it's real.
That's a good find for $2. I would put that right up there with the autographed Steve Alford photo that I got earlier today. And by the way, knowing something about the autograph industry, don't be surprised if somebody is out there forging Kirk Ferentz autographs. But I bet that one's real.
Yeah, I was the only time I even have a story that it falls under this category, I was at a garage sale in Seattle with my cousins and my aunt. And there was an autographed baseball that had... It was a pretty well... I mean, it was a decent autograph, but I saw the P, and then I saw the M, and I'm like, guys, I think this is a Paul Molitor-signed baseball that somebody's selling for $5. Sure enough, it was. $5.
I got to admit, I am a sucker for... I have a hard time driving past sales. And if I'm somewhere either on vacation or I'm passing through and there's an antique store or a church yard sale, I got to stop. It's that everybody has a little bit of Indiana Jones in them, in their DNA. It's whether or not you want to acknowledge it or not. And so I'm out there, I'm treasure hunting. And lo and behold, I've always wanted an autographed photo of Steve Alford. And now I have one. And it only cost me $2. And I'm justifying it by convincing myself that I paid $2 for the frame. 319-366-1600. What have you found? One man's trash is another man's treasure, right? Let's go to Rich in Cedar Rapids. Rich, what do you got?
How you doing, guys?
Good. What's up?
Actually, I have like two things, but one's sports related, one's not. But my father was from out east in eastern Pennsylvania, just south of Scranton. And we were at my uncle's house in Nanticoke, Pennsylvania. And this guy's walking down the street, and my father's dad tells me, you know who that is? And I have no idea who this guy is. He's like 80 years old. But his name was Pete Gray. And
oh, yeah.
You guys look it up. And I went over, I met him. He played baseball for the St. Louis Browns.
With one arm.
One arm. Batted like .200 in 1945. They did not have a World Series, I believe, because of the war. I got an autographed book and his signature on a baseball that I thought was just, at the time, I was like, I didn't know much about it, but... The other thing was just a few months ago, right across Cedar Memorial, they're having some kind of estate sale, and I was just flumbling through albums, and I see this Beatles album, and, you know, and it was their first album when they came over in 1964 with these four guys on their first show on Ed Sullivan. Picked it up for $5.
That's a pretty nice find there, Rich.
And it's immaculate condition. And so I thought, oh, and then I seen this Neil Diamond album, and I thought, oh, my wife like that. And I opened it up, and it was their second album of that with Yesterday. And I went, okay, how much? $10 for both albums.
Oh, that's a, just, that's a good find.
And I don't have the cover for the one album, but the other one I do. And it's just like, wow. You know, 50 years later, you know, it's kind of cool. I put it on the, you know, LP spinner, and it's just, you know, I wasn't even born then. So, but yeah, I still have that Pete Gray in a one of them ball carriers, and it's just kind of cool. And a lot of people don't know about Pete Gray. It's a really neat story.
Yeah, it is. So. It is. We appreciate the phone call, Rich, and that makes me, this is really sad, because among the other things that I found today for the princely sum of $3, speaking of the St. Louis Browns, was a bobblehead that the Cardinals gave away in 2016 of Eddie Goodell, who was the little person signed by Bill Veeck to pinch hit against the Detroit Tigers.
Oh, that guy?
Yes. And
I mean, that's...
For $3, it was a...
That's pretty impressive. Let me ask you something, though. I haven't been to a yard or garage sale in, I don't know, since I was like 10 or 12 years old. Are they cash only? Or did someone have a Venmo account? Or
you will appreciate this. I went, this is full old person.
You did not write a check.
Paid by check.
You did not write a check.
Well, I didn't know how much money I was going to need, what other people's junk I was going to come across today.
You wrote a check for like $5?
Oh, no. I got out of there. I got out of there with $16, and I almost felt so guilty about the Iowa football posters that I was going to round up to 20. And just say, here you go, ladies. You didn't like the Harmon joke, did you? When I said I dropped the posters three times. Okay. 319-366-1600. And of course, Ed in Iowa City says he's had those posters since they were released. They're cool. I wish Iowa's in this era, and I'm surprised because this year's schedule poster, it has AJ Epenesa and some of the other players on it. For the longest time, they've gone away from highlighting individual players, and they used to put players on the game programs, and then Ferentz did away with all of that. They are all in on the team
first
mentality of the program, and I completely get that, but there used to be something about some of those programs, like with Bob Sanders, Dallas Clark on the front, and now it's just generic shots of Kinnick Stadium. 319-366-1600, and 45 years from now, someone will be coming across a giant box of them at a garage sale. I always thought, it's not a conversation that I've ever had with anybody, but my wife and I, what happens to all my crap when I die? Because I got a lot of stuff, and I've got stuff that is, not to be a braggart here or anything, but I have some memorabilia that's a decent amount of money. It's worth something. And my nightmare is that it's all going to wind up in a dumpster.
No.
Or it's just going to be given away. I told my wife, when I die, just whatever you do, don't give all my stuff away.
Yard sale?
Have a yard sale, and then someone can come across. Again, 40 years from now. I hope it's 40 years from now. I would be almost 80 years old if it's 40 years from now. And somebody will be telling this story. I can't believe I got this Eddie Goodell bobblehead and an autographed photo of Steve Alford at some dead guy's garage sale. 319-366-1600. It's a lifestyle.
How much you want for that Eddie Goodell bobblehead?
What, you got somebody that's interested?
I don't know. Like, you might be looking at him.
The greatest, and it was an unintended troll job, but a friend of mine invited me to a Cardinals-Giants postseason game several years ago. Was it the National League Championship Series or a Divisional Series? I can't remember which. And I'd always wanted a St. Louis Browns hat. And the Browns, for those of you who are baseball fans or not baseball fans and don't know, they're the present-day Baltimore Orioles. They moved to Baltimore in the 1950s. And I bought the St. Louis Browns hat at Busch Stadium. They do have a limited amount of St. Louis Brown stuff. So they were playing the Giants, and people were not paying very close attention. And the hat is brown and orange.
Yes.
And at night, Yeah, and it sort of looks like a Giants hat, although not a lot. And I had a problem with some St. Louis fans that night because they couldn't, they didn't know what the hat was. They thought I was a Giants fan, so they kept heckling me. And if I remember right, the Giants won that game. It was not a, wasn't exactly my most pleasant experience in St. Louis. And speaking of, it's going to be a fun night in St. Louis tonight, your hometown. I'm actually surprised that you're here and not home for the, it's ring night.
It's ring night. They're raising the banner tonight, opening night in St. Louis. I figured that my vacation days are better spent. I'm not going to be able to make it to the game, but I am definitely going to be watching and excited to see the final part of the whole Stanley Cup celebration take place tonight before we turn the page and start whining about the team again when they go through a losing streak.
I thought the coolest, piggybacking on the Carson King story before we move on and Kyle gets us a big board update and we chat with Gary Rima, Layla Anderson, super fan, the young girl that sort of stole the organization's heart last season, they gave her a Stanley Cup ring. And I watched the video of that earlier today, and I thought, you know, you get moments like Carson King and what the St. Louis Blues did today, and it kind of reminds you every once in a while that even in 2019, sports can still be fun, and sports can still lead to good things. But mostly it's just people complaining about things like uniforms. Although, I didn't see too many Iowa State fans that were upset at the... They're wearing black and white uniforms today, or on Saturday against TCU, and they rolled those out today on social media. They look pretty sharp.
I like them.
I like them, too. And you know what? If a couple old guys like them, I imagine they could be popular with the recruits. Let's bring Kyle into the studio. Yeah, I'm looking at the text line. Yes, 70, 89 people do still write checks. Old people, like me. Kyle's with us, our producer.
For $16.
Kyle Mann, for $16. I should have rounded up. I almost felt guilty. I felt like I was stealing from the church. I'll have to put some extra money in the basket this weekend.
What is the fewest amount of dollars that you can feel comfortable writing a check?
Well, in the Big Lebowski, it was 69 cents to Ralph's for the half and half. But I don't know. I'm trying to think the smallest amount of money that I've ever written a check for. Maybe a couple bucks.
In 2019.
Well, not
I'm putting that caveat out there.
Okay, in 2019, the only thing, this is the first check that I've written for a non-bill in probably 5 years. But to each their own. It's money. You're going to turn down money because you don't want to take a check? Kyle brings you a big board update three times a day here on the program from Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. I'm sure they accept checks there, but don't take my word for it. Ask them first. You can find them on 420th Street in Iowa City or the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
It's Big Ten Basketball Media Day today in Chicago, and that came with an honor for Iowa sophomore guard Joe Wieskamp. The 6'6" member of last season's all-freshman team averaged 11 points and just under 5 rebounds per game and was second in the Big Ten, shooting 42% from beyond the arc. Michigan State's Cassius Winston was the unanimous preseason player of the year. The conference has done away with the official preseason rankings, but the media still conducted theirs and projected the Hawkeyes to finish eighth. That said, Fran McCaffrey said today there's no debate that Michigan State is the team to beat. That media poll, by the way, chose Bettendorf graduate Ohio State point guard DJ Carton as the freshman of the year. McCaffrey was also asked for an update on Iowa guard Jordan Bohannon's health, and he made it sound as if he's more optimistic today than he was a couple months ago that Bohannon may be able to play this season, but by no means did he say it's something to count on. First and foremost, they are still stressing Bohannon getting to 100% first and foremost. I said that twice. Cordell Pemsl still suspended from team activities, and Luca Garza said he's added 10 pounds and at 6'11" is now up to 260 pounds. Last night on KGYM, you heard the Nationals make an eighth-inning comeback to steal the National League wildcard from the Brewers, advancing to face the Dodgers in a divisional series. Tonight, after the show on all three frequencies, we'll have the A's hosting the Rays to settle things in the American League. The winner of that one gets to face the Astros, and again, KGYM will be your home for playoff baseball.
Oh, baby, I love this segment. It's homecoming this weekend in Cedar Falls. Who's coming to town? Former Nebraska coach Bo Pelini and the Youngstown State Penguins.
Is any word on whether or not Grumpy Cat will be making the trip with Mr. Pelini?
I don't think Bo is bringing his cats. What type of team will he be bringing with him to the Uni Dome? We ask Gary Rima, the play-by-play voice of the Panthers, that and more next.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Defining sports culture, piece by piece. The rhythm of the running game. The pulse of the passing attack. The riffs and reps of each play. The majesty of putting it all together. Every sport needs a great soundtrack. Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Welcome back in, 4:30 on a Wednesday, being presented to you by City Tractor of North Liberty. Give them a call, 665-6500, for all your outdoor equipment needs. Tristan Cockcroft answering your fantasy football questions tonight at 6:15. You can get those to us now on the text line, 319-366-1600. We will put them in the queue for you. Hey, it's 4:30. We got to talk with Gary Rima. Oh, baby, I love this segment, the play-by-play voice of the Panthers, back from a trip to Ogden, Utah. Unfortunately, Gary, it wasn't a very successful trip. Weber State, a 29-17 winner over UNI last weekend.
Yeah, just a second game in a row, Todd. We just got off to a really slow start. And you know, if you remember, against Idaho State, scoreless in the first quarter, three possessions, three and outs to start that game. And it went even worse out at Weber State. You know, their first play from scrimmage, they throw a 73-yard touchdown pass after we had taken the opening kickoff and got a couple of first downs and then had to punt it to them. And, you know, we flipped the field on them, put them at their 27, and then on a play-action pass, first down play, first play from scrimmage for them, they go 73 yards for the touchdown, so we're down 7-0. They kick off to us. Deion McShane fumbles the next kickoff. They recover it. They get a field goal. They're up 10-0. They kick off back to us. We get a first down, and Will McElveen throws his first interception of his career. And you know, it was a tip ball, and he had a man open, and a guy up in front of the play got up and got a tip of it, and they intercepted it. Those things happen. And they proceed to score another touchdown after that turnover. They're up 17-0 with 5:43 left in the first quarter. Number five ranked team in the country in their house. I mean, that's a big mountain to climb. But guys didn't quit. Picked up 10 first half points. You're down 27-10. You're thinking, okay, you know, we can come back from that in the second half. And the defense outstanding in the second half. Our defense just absolutely shut them down. They had minus 7 yards of offense in the third quarter. They only ended up with one positive yard of offense in the second half. Weber State only ran 23 or so offensive plays in the second half, but we just couldn't come up with enough offense to overcome it. The only points they scored in the second half, Todd, was that snap over our quarterback's head that went out of the end zone for a safety, and that's the 2 points they picked up in the second half. So a frustrating loss, because I know Weber State is good. They got a good ball club, but it didn't feel like they were any better than us or head and shoulders bigger than us, better than us. And I'm thinking, man, I'd love another shot at those guys because we just got off to that horrendous start. And it does feel like that game was lost in that first quarter when we fell behind 17-0 and had a couple of big turnovers.
Can that game sort of just be chalked up to a bad start mixed with self-inflicted wounds is too much to overcome against a top 10 team on the road?
I think it would be easier, Alex, to chalk it up to that if we wouldn't have got out to the really slow start against Idaho State.
And right.
We pulled that one out 13-6 with a big fourth quarter touchdown pass when we were still trailing in that game 6-3. So, if it was the first time all year we really just started slow, you could say, man, it was a long trip out west and you're hanging around the hotel all day waiting for a 7 o'clock Central Time kickoff and you are just sluggish to start. But I you got to be a little concerned because it is back to back games where you just started really slow. So I don't have the answer, but I think the coaching staff is looking for one to try and find a way to get this team out to a better start. And I think that'll be key this Saturday against another top 20 ranked team that comes in undefeated and they're feeling like they're a pretty darn good football team.
And that would be the number 18 Youngstown State Penguins. We'll have that game for you right here on 107.5 and 106.3 FM with Gary on the call, talking with Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers. Who's starting at tight end this weekend for UNI? Guys are getting a little thin up there at that position.
Yeah, we may just have to play the whole game without a tight end, Todd. But no, I think you'll see Jaden Scott. He got in on some snaps last week. He was a guy that was battling some injuries in fall camp and has played in the last couple of games. After Briley Moore was injured, he was backing up Tristan Bohr. So I think Jaden Scott, the redshirt freshman from Omaha, Nebraska, is going to get some looks. They may slide Matt Vanderslice back to the tight end position. He was a tight end a couple of years ago. Then they moved him to the offensive line. And he's been the backup left tackle, and they actually had him in the eligible jersey a couple of weeks ago. Didn't do that this last week. They left him in his 77 jersey, but he's got a 98 jersey on the sideline, so he could see some action. And you never know, maybe the true freshman Maverick Gaytrost will get into the game. He has yet to play. Alex Allen did get in on one snap last week. Terry Allen's son, the former head coach at UNI, he did get on the field for one offensive play. So they're working with him, getting him up to speed to maybe be in there more. But it feels like they may use more of the four wide receiver set, maybe use a couple of running backs instead of just one. And we might not see the tight end quite as much this week.
The offense of the past couple of weeks, Mark Farley has sort of talked about it. You mentioned it as well. It's been a little up and down. What can this team do to get that side of the ball going?
So I still got to run the football better. Now, with that being said, Will McElvain gets 105 yards rushing, and he did a nice job in some option read stuff that he can do. And I still think we got to get more out of Trevor Allen, Tyler Hoosman. It's got to be a little bit better to get that passing game to click the way that we want to. We need to put together some consistent drives. Too many three and outs, not converting very good on third down. I think we were 3-for-12 on third down conversions last week, or at about 33% for the year converting third down. And part of that problem, Alex, is we're not winning first down. You know, we're gaining a yard or no gain on first down, and you're kind of behind the chains right away when it's second and 10, second and 11. We've got to win first down. So we're in more second and 4, second and 5 type situations. And I know they're working on that. They're trying to get that done, but we have faced some good defenses. Idaho State 2 weeks ago had a really good defensive plan against us. And Weber State, they're known for their defense. They were not going into that game, They'd played two FBS schools and held one of them, San Diego State, to a 6-0 game and got beat by Nevada 19-13. I mean, their defense has been their strength going into that game. And so we've gone up against some tough defenses to move the football against. So, I mean, that's part of it, too. And Youngstown State, really strong on defense. They, you know, they're only giving up about 18 points per game. They're outscoring their opponents by over 20 points per game. So it won't be easy, but we've got to find some ways to win first down and put together some time-consuming drives. And I think if we get that rolling, I think this offense can really start clicking.
Well, that was going to be my next question for you. You kind of touched on that, but what do we really know about this Youngstown State team? They're 4-0 for Bo Pelini, but they haven't played as rigorous of a schedule as you and I has.
Well, and you're absolutely right about that, Todd. I think if you look at the four opponents that you and I has played, sitting 2-2, and the four that this 17th-ranked Youngstown State team has played, I mean, it's no comparison. You know, they're playing Duquesne and Robert Morris and some lower-level FCS programs and putting a pretty good pounding on them, and we're playing top 25-ranked teams and Iowa State out of the Big 12. But they're 4-0. They're confident. They think that they're a really good football team, and there's one thing to be said for that mental part of the game where you are sitting 4-0, and, you know, is it a little bit of fool's gold for them? That's what we're hoping, that, you know, just because we have really faced some incredibly tough competition, that will help us in this game. Now, I mentioned them defensively. They are really good defensively. They got a couple of great defensive ends. Bo Pelini's a defensive-minded guy, a lot like Coach Farley for you and I. But the thing that jumps out at me, and again, they haven't faced the toughest of competition, but they've got four running backs that are averaging, well, one guy's at 12.7 yards a carry, another guy's 7.8, another guy's 7.4, and their starting running back, Christian Turner, is at 7 yards per carry. Their quarterback, Nathan Mays, is having a great year. He's averaging over 6 yards a carry. They're at about 300 yards of offense per game on the ground, running the football. So they've really run the football extremely well against their four opponents. As a team, they average 6.5 yards per running play, almost 500 yards of offense per game. Now, I don't think they faced a defense like the Panthers are going to put up against them on Saturday. And you know, I'm banking on that to be a big part of this game, that I don't see them being able to run the football against our defense like they have on I think, the four lesser opponents that they faced. But if they do, if they are able to average 5-6 yards per carry, then it's going to be a long day for the Panthers, because they'll just time consume it and they'll win the time of possession game. So it's always a great matchup. They beat us pretty handily out at their place a year ago. I think, 31-10, 34-10, something like that, a year ago. So they come in confident, and I think this Panther team is, you know, they've got some question marks. They're kind of looking around wondering, okay, are we the team that took Iowa State to 3 overtimes and beat Southern Utah 34-0, or are we the team that got behind 17-0 with 5.5 minutes to go in the first quarter last Saturday? And I think we're somewhere in between that, but key game, guys, this coming Saturday, because you got North Dakota State waiting next week for you to come up to their house. You know how tough that is. You got to protect home field, and this is a hugely important conference opening game that the Panthers got to take care of on Saturday. And it's homecoming on top of that. So never want to lose your home opener in conference play. You never want to lose your homecoming game. Got to find a way to get the win on Saturday.
What you brought up right there, protecting home field, when you look at the way that the final 8 games of this schedule lays out, where you have 4 games at the Uni Dome and then road games in Fargo, in Springfield, in Normal, and in Brookings, how important is it going to be for you and I to win darn near every game they play in the Uni Dome?
You have to. I mean, if this team wants to be a playoff team, I don't think you can afford to drop a home game. And if you do, then you're going to have to go on the road and you're going to have to upset a top-ranked team like North Dakota State or go to South Dakota State and win. And Alex, you know, you mentioned those four conference road games. Keep in mind that it's always tough on the road, but you go to North Dakota State ranked number one. You go to South Dakota State ranked number three. You go to Illinois State ranked in the top 10. And not only, you know, road games, they're against top 10 rated programs in FCS football. So you know how tough those games are going to be for that alone. So you've got to protect home turf. Got to win your home games. And if the Panthers do that and you pick off a road game or two and you go 7-5 or 8-4, you're in the playoff field for sure. And if you pull off the upsets of North Dakota State and South Dakota State, you win the darn league and you got a first round bye in the playoffs if you take care of your home field and you win your home game. So got to start with the W on Saturday against Youngstown State, or I think it makes the road to hold that much tougher the rest of the way.
Gary, it's hard to believe that basketball season is almost upon us. We missed chatting with you about Missouri Valley Conference Media Day last week, but are you ready to start thinking about basketball?
You know, it is crazy. I mean, you know, practice underway, and I think I saw something posted today by a media guy on Twitter. We're like 30-some-odd days away from the opening games of college basketball, and I'm like, we're only four games into the football season. We got a lot of – but, I'll be ready for hoops, too. Love that time of the year, too. I think you and I basketball has got a chance to be really good again and pretty special and in the hunt for a Valley title. And, you know, you do that and your hopes get raised pretty high that you could maybe be an NCAA tournament team. And that's the goal every year for Coach Jacobson's men's basketball team. So it's going to be fun. Austin Fife, you know, he's looking good, practicing, playing. A.J. Green back with the seniors. I can't remember the last time, guys, we had six seniors on our basketball team. I mean, just this has the makings to be a really good season, and it'll be fun to get this thing started in early November and just see what Panther men's basketball can do.
All right, here's to a happy homecoming this weekend against Bo Pelini and Youngstown. Gary, appreciate it as always. Look forward to hearing you on our airwaves this Saturday, and we will chat with you next Wednesday.
Got to take down the fighting Bo Pelinis this weekend, guys, and get a win. Great being on with you.
And Gary will be back with us next week. Again, we will have that UNI Youngstown State game coming up for you this weekend. And that is a big game, as Gary mentioned, the conference opener for UNI. They made a spirited comeback against Weber State last weekend, just couldn't quite pull off the road upset.
No, you can't get down early like that and make the kind of mistakes that they made and expect to win. But they're in a very similar spot. It seems like every single year we're sort of talking about some ups and downs early on, and then you and I turning things on the latter half of the schedule, which leaves these games the next couple weeks as great unknowns. You don't expect for you and I to go on the road and beat North Dakota State. But I think you do expect that no matter how good you think Youngstown State is, you and I needs to be able to take care of Youngstown State at home if they want to get to where they want to get to. If they want to get back to the playoffs and stay in that top 10 to 15 range in the country. So you and I, they're going to have their hands full, but they have to win every single game that they play at the Uni Dome.
And that is a 3 o'clock broadcast, by the way, on Saturday on 107.5 and 106.3. You and I taking on Youngstown State. The fun is just beginning on a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by City Tractor in North Liberty. Stick around. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, an opportunity for you to take home tickets to see Disturbed at the U.S. Cellular Center inside the 5 o'clock face-off. Plus, in the 6 o'clock hour, we're answering your fantasy football questions with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com, courtesy of Imon Communications. Lots to get to before 7 o'clock tonight. Stick around. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4344 120th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Chad!
Tomorrow, it's all about high school football. First stop West High for the Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour. Join Whirlpool Careers, the Iowa National Guard, and area businesses handing out free stuff, playing games, and getting students pumped for kickoff. And then Friday, it's off to the stadium for West High's matchup with Linmar. Catch every pass, fumble, and touchdown on 106.3 FM with Gary Fickle and Miles Klotz. The Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour, gearing up for live high school gridiron action tomorrow, only on the gym.
Thursday night, it's Class 4A District 3 Showdown of Early Unbeatens right here on KGYM. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Join John Hagerty and me Thursday at 7 on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM from Kingston as number 2 Cedar Falls meets Jefferson. The Tigers come in 5-0 on the season and meet a Jayhawk team on a 2-game winning streak, hoping to pull the upset. That's high school football presented by Hills Bank. Number 2 Cedar Falls at Jefferson. Thursday night at 7 on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM KGYM.
4:54, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, also on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, online at kgymradio.com, where we have for you a poll question today brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. That's where you can find Emil's Hideaway. Stop on in, try one of their delicious menu items, oftentimes featuring new items, and grab yourself something to drink while you're there. Let the folks know you heard about them on KGYM. Today's poll question, pretty self-explanatory. Who wins tonight's American League wild card game between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Oakland Athletics? My vote is for Oakland, even though on my official bracket yesterday.
Yeah, what the heck? You're going back on your prediction?
I slept on it, and I went with Washington yesterday because Washington had the better pitching. And then Scherzer gave up 3 runs right away, and they wound up winning the game. I'm going to go with the team tonight that has the better lineup, and the better lineup, in my opinion, is Oakland's. So I'm changing, I'm flip-flopping, and I had no chance to win the $250,000 anyway.
All right, so I'm going to flip-flop too. I'm going to go ahead and say that my prediction in the National League, the Cardinals losing in the first round, they're going to win the World Series.
Cardinals got some good news today because Colton Wong is cleared for the divisional series against the Braves.
That is good news.
That is good news, and I listened to a little bit of what they had to say earlier today. That is a confident bunch in St. Louis. And I think I put out my bracket yesterday on Twitter, at Todd Brommelkamp, if you want to give me a follow and you're not already doing so. And some people criticized it because it was heavy on the favorites, which it's not a deep field. It's not the 68-team NCAA tournament bracket where you can pick a ton of upsets. I mean, it sort of makes sense for the most part to pick the favorites, but I did say that the one series that I was sort of going back and forth on was St. Louis and Atlanta. I will not be surprised if the Cardinals win that series. But I picked Atlanta.
As did I.
Just as I won't be surprised if the Twins beat the Yankees, but I picked the Yankees. That's going to be a great series. Also, Rocco Baldelli declining to release or set his roster until he absolutely needs to. There's so much gamesmanship that goes on between teams once the postseason rolls around. We will have as many postseason games as possible for you here on KGYM. And tomorrow, that includes the Cardinals and Braves. Can't remember the start time on that. But
all right, I have the start times here. 3:37 for the Cardinals and Braves. And then the Twins and Yankees start at 6:07.
So we will have the Cardinals and Braves tomorrow, I think at 3 o'clock, if I remember Scott Unash telling me earlier in the sports office. So, again, we will have as much as we can possibly bring you throughout the postseason. We do have high school football commitments on tap for tomorrow as well. So
I playoffs, screwed that up.
Uh-oh.
4:02 for okay. Cardinals and Braves.
Okay.
7:37 for Nats and Dodgers.
We'll get everything figured out. Quite frankly, I would rather listen to the Cardinals and the Braves than this program occasionally. Who's the pitcher? Have they announced the starter for Game 1 for St. Louis?
It will be Miles Michaelis against Dallas Keuchel. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think the Cardinals are confident when they have Dakota Hudson and Jack Flaherty on the mound. Beyond that, not so much.
It's hard to believe, are talking college basketball already. The Big Ten held its annual media day in Chicago earlier today. Joe Wieskamp, one of the 10 Big Ten players honored on the preseason All-Big Ten team. Cassius Winston of Michigan State, the preseason player of the year. Lots of love for the Spartans out of the gate. Can anybody challenge them for supremacy in the Big Ten? Mike DeCourcy, longtime contributor to the Sporting News, as well as a talking head you see oftentimes during basketball season on the Big Ten Network. He'll join us next as we take a look back on some of the storylines today. Fred Hoiberg and Juwan Howard making their debuts as Big Ten basketball coaches. Lots to get to from Big Ten Media Days in Chicago, and we'll do so with Mike when hour number two kicks off next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Yo, Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. In Oakland tonight, the American League wildcard game between the A's and Rays. Lefty Sean Manaea is the starting pitcher for Oakland. Charlie Morton for Tampa Bay. The game is at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio and TV. Former Ohio State football player and now Ohio Congressman Anthony Gonzalez will propose a federal law allowing college athletes to chance to make endorsement money. ESPN's Dan Orlovsky.
There are coaches in the Power 5 conferences who obviously are the kings of the castle who want to break away from the NCAA. That's just the truth. And so I think that this is going to be a kind of thorn in the NCAA side.
Dan Orlovsky on Golic and Wingo. California passed a state law this week, and Gonzalez, the congressman in Ohio, says the federal government needs to act quickly to avoid potential problems. The Patriots put kicker Steven Gostkowski on injured reserve. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, Gostkowski will have season-ending surgery on his left hip. Bill Bidwell, who owned the Arizona Cardinals for 35 years, died today.
Coming up on Thursday, an NFC West matchup on Thursday Night Football when the Rams visit the Seahawks. Plus, recapping the A's and Rays in the AL wildcard and previewing first pitch of the NLDS. Golic and Wingo, Thursday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
The Sports Center update was brought to you by The Grill Works in Marion, your grilling and smoking headquarters, making you the grill master you deserve to be. Here's the grilling tip of the week.
Want to wow your family and friends during your tailgates? There is nothing else like our gunpowder seasoning. Hi, I'm Lisa with The Grill Works. The smoky taste of gunpowder is awesome. It's perfect on burgers, steaks, or even straight from your hand. Everyone who tries it loves it. You will be amazed. Our gunpowder seasoning is the perfect simple way to kick your tailgate up a notch. Stop in and try it along with any of our other rubs and seasonings at The Grill Works. 763 8th Avenue in Marion, your grilling and smoking headquarters.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
503, welcome back in. It is the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM on Wednesdays, presented by City Tractor of North Liberty, a full-service outdoor equipment dealer with six technicians on staff. Give them a call for all your outdoor equipment needs, 665-6500. Thank you to City Tractor for their sponsorship. We've got tickets to see Disturbed at the U.S. Cellular Center next Wednesday as our prize inside tonight's 5 o'clock face-off. Your opportunity to win those tickets from us coming up at 5:30. But first, we kick off the 5 o'clock hour by turning our attention to Chicago, where the Big Ten Conference held its annual basketball media days earlier today. Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News and longtime contributor to the Big Ten Network's basketball coverage as well, joining us. And Mike, this looks like a one-horse race right now. Is there anybody that can contend with Michigan State for the crown this year?
Well, I think Maryland has a chance to be in it. Absolutely. You're looking at a team that is talented, that has a four-year starter at point guard, that has multiple wings who can make shots, and more depth in the front court than they've had in a while. Now, they don't have necessarily as much talent as they've had in the front court. They lost Bruno Fernando, who was such a great player last year as a sophomore. But it's still a team that you have to believe has a chance. And then I think Ohio State and Purdue will both give them a run as well, but sometimes you can be the best team in the country and may not be the best team in your league, depending on how the schedule works out, how the breaks work out. So I don't think anybody that was here today is ceding the Big Ten championship to Michigan State, as gifted as they are.
You mentioned a team like Purdue. How do they move on with life past Carson Edwards?
Well, you have to remember about Matt Painter is that he's been one of the most flexible, inventive, malleable coaches. He coaches to his talent. Remember, before Carson Edwards took over and became the shooting star that he was, they were throwing the ball into the post to Biggie Swanigan. And before that, they were relying on Robbie Hummel and Juwan Johnson. And he's won with so many different types of players. What isn't negotiable at Purdue is being team-oriented, doing your job, and defending, certainly. And so from that standpoint, they will be a different type of team. They have to establish how they're going to play offense. I think there will be a lot of what they used to do with Biggie Swanigan, involved with Travion Williams. I think they'll play two bigs a lot together. They'll try to see if it works with Travion Williams and Matt Harms. And then they'll have to establish a consistent shooting from the outside. Now, Sasha Stefanovic, a year ago, had trouble with his confidence because he'd come in, he'd miss a shot. He was probably only going to be out there for a little while anyway because he's taken out Carson Edwards or Ryan Klein, you're not going to do that for very long. And so if he'd missed a shot, he'd lose his confidence and he wouldn't play well the next game. Now it's his job. And so as long as he does what's required of him on defense, there'll be lots of shots for him, and he has to believe in himself and move forward. And if he does that, he's going to get to play a lot of basketball.
At TSN Mike on Twitter, the Sporting News is Mike DeCourcy joining us here on ESPN Radio in Eastern Iowa. Juwan Howard or Fred Hoiberg, who drew the bigger crowd today?
I think Juwan did. And I guess that's not surprising because he's the newer guy and he's at the more established basketball school. Michigan is in national championship game as recently as 2 years ago. Nebraska still sort of struggling to... One of the things that Fred said today that is unabashedly true is they've got as good a support as anybody in the league. Their fans are incredible. They show up game after game. And their facilities are as good as anybody in the league. And now, obviously, the trick is to getting players that are as good as everybody else is in the league. Fred's done it before at Iowa State. He's going to have a challenge to do it now at Nebraska. A little bit less basketball culture there than there was at Iowa State, and he should know because he was a big part of it, right, as the mayor back in his day.
What are reasonable expectations for him in his first couple of seasons as he tries to build that program?
I think the reasonable expectation is to try to be competitive and entertaining. And I think the entertaining part more than likely is an easy deal for him because that's what he did at Iowa State. I mean, they were very successful very quickly there, but I don't think you can anticipate that being an automatic. You can't replicate that formula necessarily. It may develop. They've certainly got a lot of new players there right now, but you can't expect to walk in and have a Corey Lucius and a Chris Babb and all the rest of the transfers available to them when he got to Iowa State. You know, one of the things that's interesting to me about the way his arrival at Nebraska was covered was I thought that he got too little credit for being a recruiter of high school talent. I mean, he wasn't there that long, but the guy who signed Monte Morris and the guy who signed George Niang, that guy either has a great eye for talent or is a great salesman or both. And you can't just say that it was all about the transfers and taking other people's problems and making it work.
Mike, I saw some buzz around the Illinois Fighting Illini. Do you think that's a team that has an outside shot to be a troublemaker this year in the Big Ten?
Yeah, they do. They signed a young big guy who will make them deeper in the front court. They already had Georgie Bishanashvili, who a lot of people in the league love because of his energy and his enthusiasm, and he's versatile, inside out, big, good in the low post, can make a shot facing the goal. They've got really good, talented guards. Ayo Dosunmu, a lot of people thought he was going to go to the NBA. A lot of people were certain he was going to the NBA. He's back for another year. Trent Frazier, who's now in his third year, he had a tremendous freshman year and was solid a year ago. He could be back on his game. Feliz is a great backup. So they've got guys. And the question is, how do they fit what Brad Underwood has wanted to do? They were a really good home team at times last year using their pressure. Do they have the right guys to make that NCAA tournament good and not just home court annoyance good? I think that's the question for them to decide. And if it doesn't really fit into being a great team with that style, are they amenable to changing it? I think that's something that Brad's going to have to show. If it doesn't work playing that all-out pressure defense that he's preferred, will he be willing to change it? I'm not 100% convinced that with everybody that I mentioned, that the full court pressure is the right way to go. I'm not saying it's not, but I if it doesn't work out early, will they be willing to amend it? That's what I want to see.
Back to Juwan Howard in Michigan for a second. What kind of team does he have in his first year in Ann Arbor without Iggy Brizdaikis and without Jordan Poole?
Well, losing Iggy was damaging. He's a guy who I thought had another year of college basketball in him and could have been a first-round pick. And I will confess, I thought Jordan Poole was really wrong to leave because I didn't think that he would be valued at this stage at that level. and he got to be a first-round pick, so I was wrong on it. He was right. Good for him. I hope he has a great career. But without them, he still has three guys who could start for every team in the league. John Teske at center, Isaiah Livers at power forward or small forward, depending on the opponent. Probably power forward is the best for him. And then Xavier Simpson at point guard. He's the second best league in. He's the second best point guard in a league where the first best point guard is maybe the best player in America. So they've got three great pieces, and now do they have enough to be championship first division contenders? That I'm not 100% sure that they do, but I don't know. I haven't seen their recruits, all their recruits yet. So if there's a couple of guys in there who can contribute, and then you throw in an Eli Brooks, you know, maybe there's enough to be a first division team there.
Mike, how many Big Ten coaches, in your opinion, enter the season on the hot seat?
You know, I will say that I am one who has an objection to the hot seat concept. I don't like it. I don't think that anybody should go in coaching for their job. I have a sort of philosophy where I believe that, you know, if you think you should fire your coach, then fire your coach. If you think that's the best move forward for you, then go ahead and do it. But I don't think that you should say, well, if you don't do this, then you shouldn't stay. I don't think that's how you run a program. If someone is failing and doesn't work at your school and isn't the person you want and all that kind of stuff, then fine, move along. But I don't think you say, well, you didn't make the tournament because your starting point guard broke his ankle, so we're going to fire you. I just think that's a backward way to run a program.
Moving on to Fran McCaffrey's team, the Iowa basketball program, has been a fairly tough offseason. The news that Jordan Bohannon, there's a possibility he will not play this year. Tyler Cook left school. Isaiah Moss transferred to Kansas. What are your thoughts on the Iowa Hawkeyes going into the year?
It's hard to really know without knowing what's going to happen to Jordan. He was such an important player a year ago. And obviously he was their point guard. Now, he was not a great point guard, but he was a great player. And he made a difference for them. He was a winning player. I mean, they were a whisker away from the Sweet 16, and Jordan was a huge part of that. They still have very, very good players. Luka Garza's terrific. Somebody that is really the, you know, a model big for the modern game, can play away from the goal, is getting to the point where he can move his feet well enough to defend away from the goal, is a nightmare matchup for a lot of teams because of his shooting ability, but also is tough and physical and competitive in the post. So they've got some very good players. It's just, do they have the right guys with, you know, if Jordan's not there? I hope he's okay and is able to go. If he's not, you know, then they're going to have every single player play to their potential, I think, to be a contender again, to go back to the tournament.
He wants to play his final season fully healthy. If you could only have Jordan Bohannon for, say, half a season, would you play him or would you redshirt him and have him back fully healthy next season?
Well, if I am Jordan, I would understand wanting to play a full season as opposed to a half a season. And if I'm Fran, I would totally leave that up to Jordan. I wouldn't even pressure him. I don't think that's right. I don't think it's right. Because coach could easily say, you know, do it for your teammates, do it for, you know, your fans. We might lose this guy, or, you know, we might have, you know, guys that are going to finish their careers and you won't be able to play with them. You can play a lot of different games with that. And That's tough on a young player who wants to be a good teammate, who wants to be a good, you know, citizen of the campus. So I think you have to leave it up to Jordan. And if half of the year is all he can get, then I could certainly understand him wanting to wait and come back until. Because remember, if he's only healthy for half of the season, he's probably not effective for all of that. So he may only get, you know, March or late February and March being a proficient player, being Jordan in that circumstance. And so if he's not ready until then, I could totally understand him not wanting to go this year.
Mike, I look at the preseason poll, and I see Rutgers down there at 12. And I've always said that Steve Peichel has done one of the more underrated great jobs in the Big Ten of getting that team competitive again. Could this be a year where they move into the middle of the pack and really surprise some people?
I'll be honest, I didn't pay attention to the coaches' poll, and I noticed
12.
The writers' poll that came. Which of the two rankings is that?
That would be the writers.
Okay. They didn't ask me to vote. I would not have voted Rutgers 12th at all. I would have had them closer to 6th. I still think they have a chance to be very good. They're one of those teams. Once you get past the first four that I mentioned earlier, I think that there are about 6 or 7, maybe 8 teams that everything has to go right or everything has to go wrong and, you know, could wind up anywhere from 5th to 12th or so. And I would put Rutgers in that group very firmly. I would put them in the more optimistic portion of that group, but I would definitely put them in that group. I think that they have a chance to make the tournament. I also think they have a chance to have a losing season. But I'm more optimistic about them because they recruited a point guard and they certainly needed one, because they have the ability to play multiple different wings. McConnell's terrific, Baker's terrific, Harper's terrific, but none of them yet is a great college player because they just haven't played enough yet. With the exception of Baker, none of those guys has played enough yet to really be somebody that you know you can count on in difficult games.
Great stuff as always, Mike. We look forward to seeing you on the BTN again and reading you at the Sporting News. Thanks a lot.
Gentlemen, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Give him a follow on Twitter at TSN Mike, and a very diplomatic answer on coaches on the hot seat. I'll just go ahead and put him down for Richard Pitino. I think Richard Pitino, Pat Chambers.
Pat Chambers is absolutely on that list. He has been for the past couple
and
seasons.
And I think that's probably where you would draw the line, right? Greg Gard has had enough success at Wisconsin. You're not talking about getting rid of him.
You're not talking about getting rid of Brad Underwood.
I think I'm going to put the Illini there with Rutgers. I'm glad you brought up Steve Peichel and the Scarlet Knights. Nothing is expected of them this season, at least among the writers. And that's a team that, in the brief glimpses that I saw of them last year, there was some promise there. He's a really good coach.
Yes, he is.
He's a really good coach. And I think Illinois can make life tough for some teams in the Big Ten this year.
And that's what I'm saying. Illinois has ability. They had a couple of guys, Io DeSumo, come back to school after a lot of people thought he was going to the NBA. And Georgie, I'm not going to try to pronounce the last name there, but
Big G.
Big George. They have some talent coming back. My
Secrets
question
in the
is
sauce.
If they underachieve again, what will happen?
I think that makes next year really
next year?
Pivotal
okay.
For him. The Illinois. They just need some stability there.
Yeah.
And
in both major sports.
Oh, yeah, you're telling me, especially in terms of football. We'll get to Illinois and Minnesota. I think that's one of the games we're picking later on in the week on the Pick 6 presented by Emil's Hideaway. Minnesota, a 2-touchdown favorite at home over Lovie Smith and the Illinois Fighting Illini. You can listen in to WagerWise, a paid presentation of the Elite Sportsbook and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort tonight here on KGYM. It airs between 6 and 6:10. Several games under the microscope on that program, including Iowa and Michigan. The Wolverines currently a 3.5-point favorite. We will preview Iowa's trip to Ann Arbor on Saturday morning. It's going to be another 9 a.m. before the boom on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. So tune in to get the KGYM staff's thoughts on Iowa and the Wolverines. We do need to pass along a quick note. We have moved this week's road trip at Mulligan's to next Thursday. So if you are planning on joining us tomorrow for happy hour or half-price wings beginning at 6 o'clock, postseason baseball, Thursday night football. We're going to do back-to-back road trips the next two Thursdays beginning next week at Mulligan's. So apologize for any issues there. If you already had plans to join us, we'll be doing tomorrow's show from the KGYM studios, but it gives you an opportunity to enjoy road trips 2 weeks in a row, beginning next Thursday at Mulligan's. A big thank you to the folks there. 1060 Old Marion Road. You can stop in, check them out. Happy hour from 3 until 6 every day. And as we mentioned, we've got half-price wings there on Thursdays. We're actually going to be there on Halloween this year. Halloween falls on a Thursday, and so we'll be doing a road trip.
A little something special.
Candy, crappy candy for everybody.
You still have those circus peanuts that you bought a certain store out of?
I did say I came across something on Twitter a couple weeks ago, peanut butter and pickle Twinkies.
Are some of those things that you see on Twitter where it's like...
That one I think is
that
real.
That's real? Are you sure? Like, who would be stupid enough to
make
that?
I know what you're referring to. You're referring to a lot of the Photoshopped items out there. Well, as far as I know, the peanut butter and pickle Twinkies were real.
That's disgusting.
And I did make a crack about giving them out at Halloween this year, but we're not. We've got our candy.
Hey, I'll try anything once, but...
We've got our candy already, but you've proven that on Z102.9. What was the...
It was, well, Jenny Valier, the host that's on Z102.9 right now, does this segment where you have to answer really embarrassing questions or eat disgusting food that they give you.
And, okay, how embarrassing are the questions?
I'm trying to think of the one of the questions that I got. Like, one of the questions that was asked of Jenny by Destiny, who's also on the show, was who would you rather see in their underwear, me or Alex? That type of thing.
Oh, you got to be careful with that. That's going to get you in trouble with HR, right?
Exactly. That type of thing. Or I asked Jenny, what's the ugliest thing about your dog? Just those.
And then, so if you don't want to answer the question, you have to eat, like, fermented fish eggs or something.
So it was like dried
pass.
It was dried fish with like black beans mixed in, and these things, the fish still had the eyes in it. It was like the full fish, and it was dried, and it was the fish were hard. It was like
they won't ask
disgusting.
Me to do that segment because
they know what you're gonna say.
Well, I have no shame. I mean, I'll just be completely honest. They can ask me virtually anything, and I'll be honest, especially if it avoids and keeps me from eating rock-hard fish eyeballs. I'm out on that. We've got our Halloween candy already, and it's October 2nd, and the Halloween candy is already sitting in our closet at home, but big development here. We're going back to the full size this year. We toyed around with the fun size last year. Neither one of us liked it, and so full-sized, and it's not candy bars either. We're going Skittles and Starbursts this year.
You're going to be a popular house.
Hat tip to Costco.
Although those kids probably charted out that you guys went away from the full-size,
see,
so there'll be less kids coming.
We actually had somebody last year call us out.
They did not.
Yes. Somebody last year said, hey, wait a minute. Last year you guys had full-size candy bars.
Okay.
That's a better memory than I ever had when I was 8 or 9 years old.
319-366-1600, the Hurtine and Stocker text line. Was the kid that called Todd out brilliant or a little jerk? I can't decide.
I'm going to say brilliant because...
I'm leaning towards brilliant.
There was one house in particular... When I grew up, it was a little old German woman, and every year at Halloween, she gave out full-size candy bars. So it didn't matter whether or not you lived on that side of town or not. You carved out 10 minutes to get over to her house to get a Nestle's Crunch bar, Baby Ruth bar, whatever it was in any particular year. So I'm going to go brilliant on that. Other members of my household would probably answer little jerk.
Has the whole neighborhood charted out?
I got to find... I'm working on a lion costume for Halloween this year because, again, that's what my son... My son has made the decision that he wants everybody in the family to be a lion. I took him to see The Lion King a couple months ago, and it's changed his life. I don't necessarily know if it's changed my life for the better, but it's changed his. And everything, he is so lion-centric right now. And we've been working with him on, you might know where I'm going with this, if you're an NFL fan. I'm a Packers fan. My wife is a Patriots fan. And we're working with him on identifying the NFL teams. And, okay, that's Daddy's team, that's the Packers, that's the Patriots. And I said to my wife, I was like, please do not tell him that there is an NFL team that's nicknamed the Lions, because we've always told him you can be a fan of any team that you want to be in any sport. We're not going to force anything on you. Although I've got my fingers crossed on the Cubs, because Tom Kakert, who joins us on the program regularly from HawkeyeReport.com, huge Cubs fan, his son, Cardinals fan. So it can happen. Yeah. I understand that. But I said to my wife,
stage,
please do not tell him that there is a franchise called the Lions, because then he's going to be a Detroit Lions fan, and I can't wish that on. They're never going to be good, are they? Well, they might be good now. I don't know. They took the Chiefs down to the wire. Andy Reid said not every one of Rembrandt's paintings was a masterpiece or something like that. A win is a win. So naturally, she showed him all of the logos over the weekend and everything. And for whatever reason, it didn't register with him. I thought for sure he was going to get fixated on it and run around the house in the little lion sweatshirt like a little Wayne Fonts. Nope. Not interested. Go. So we dodged a bullet there. Now it's fingers crossed that he isn't too.
You have to be a lion for Halloween, right?
I
think so.
Yeah, he wants Mufasa.
Okay. I've already decided who I'm going to be for Halloween, so we all hopefully
Scar?
No.
Is it a character from The Lion King?
It is not. Oh. It is an NFL player.
Is this going to be just you and the Rams gear again this year?
This will be better. This will be better. It involves a fake mustache.
Hmm.
It involves aviator sunglasses, and it involves jorts. I think I've pretty much...
Are you going to be Gardner Minshew
correct.
Or George Kittle?
Gardner Minshew.
I think there are going to be quite a few Gardner Minshew trick-or-treaters in the Jacksonville, Florida area this year, would be my guess. 319-366-1600, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Wednesdays by City Tractor of North Liberty. You get your brand new John Deere at City Tractor. You can give them a call today, 665-6500. They are a full-service outdoor equipment dealer. They've been in the Corridor area since, I believe, 2003, moved to North Liberty in 2010, and we appreciate their sponsorship here on the program. You name it, they can find it for you if they don't have it in stock. They don't just sell John Deere's. They can pretty much handle any of your outdoor equipment needs. We need to take a quick timeout. But before we do, when we return, we're going to play the 6 o'clock showdown tonight as the 5 o'clock face-off. We've got 7 questions in 60 seconds, and we have for you a pair of tickets to see Disturbed at the U.S. Cellular Center. This concert is next Wednesday night. So not only, I'm being forthright here, because not everybody is going to be a Disturbed fan. So that, and it's on sort of short notice. You've only got a week to make plans. So with those two caveats, if you're a Disturbed fan, you want to go to the show, you know somebody who can go to the show that you want to give the tickets to, 2 callers right now, 319-366-1600. We'll take callers number 1 and 2. All you need to do for the 6 o'clock showdown or the 5 o'clock face-off, whatever we decide to call it on any given Wednesday night, answer more questions than your opponent, and you are going to be off to the U.S. Cellular Center in downtown Cedar Rapids next Wednesday night, October 9th, for the Disturbed show. We'll find out who our contestants are and play the face-off when we return after this.
Style is certainly influenced by the times and current tastes. In fact, during Hertin and Stalker Jewelers' 70-plus years, they've seen colors, metals, and stones go in and out of vogue many times. That history gives the Dickens family a keen understanding of what's modern and fresh now, and what's great and beautiful from years past. That's why they offer estate pieces. These previously loved jewelry treasures are nicely priced, and the collection changes regularly, so there's always something new to discover. And if your own jewelry box holds a few things that don't quite suit you anymore, bring them into Hertin and Stalker Jewelers for cash or credit to use in store for something new. Come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin and Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
Lawn legends run with us on a John Deere X300 Select Series lawn tractor. Head to your nearest John Deere dealer and save big at the Gear Up for Fall sales event. Get $300 off X300 Select Series lawn tractors built for year-round versatility. The Gear Up for Fall sales event won't last forever, so hurry to your John Deere dealer today to find out why nothing runs like a deer. Offer ends November 1st, 2019. Some restrictions apply. See JohnDeere.com or participating dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or visit CityTractor.com.
Dave is a common name used in a comical way. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
This is Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Sarah was looking for a job, but wanted to stay local.
That's right.
First, she built a giant satellite, then launched it into space to send a signal transmitting her resume. This did not lend Sarah a job, but it did start a war with the Zarkon Nebula.
I went too far.
Yes, Sarah went too far. But you don't have to go too far to go far. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com only posts local jobs, so employers are way more likely to respond to your application and offer you a job. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
KGYM and Smart FM are the perfect fall combination for football. All the info you need to get ready for the big game, and all the smart rock you need to get ready for your pregame festivities. Tailgates go better with Smart Rock from Smart FM. If you're heading to the Hawkeye game or getting together with your buddies before kickoff, Smart Rock pairs perfectly with brats, burgers, and barbecue. Next big game, prepare your pregame feast with a side of Smart Rock from Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
And welcome back here in the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Wednesday. Get those fantasy football questions to us now for Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. He'll be with us tonight at 6:15 to help you set your lineups for this week. Lots of NFL action to discuss over the next 2 days' worth of local programming. The Bears and Raiders play a big game this weekend. The Packers travel to Dallas. Kansas City is the featured Sunday night contest against the Indianapolis Colts. We'll get to all three of those games and more on WagerWise, which is airing between 6 and 6:10 tonight prior to Tristan's appearance here on the program. But right now, it is time for the 5 o'clock face-off. 7 questions in 60 seconds. We've got two contestants competing for tickets to see Disturbed at the U.S. Cellular Center next Wednesday night. Let's bring in Kevin in Marion. He's going to be answering my questions. And Leo in Iowa City answering Alex's questions. Kevin, hang tight and remain silent on the line. We'll let Leo decide whether he and Alex would like to go first or last.
What do you think, Leo?
I'll go second.
All right.
All right, Kevin, are you familiar with the 5 o'clock face-off, 6 o'clock showdown format?
I am.
Okay. 7 questions, 60 seconds. You don't know the answer, say pass, and if we've got enough time, we'll come back to it. When you're ready, I will read the first question.
Go ahead.
All right. Who do the Chicago Bears play in London on Sunday?
Pass.
How many major league teams finished the regular season with 100 or more wins?
4.
Where were the Iowa Hawkeyes picked to finish in the preseason media Big Ten basketball poll?
8.
Name the 5 remaining unbeaten Big Ten football teams.
Iowa, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio State. Pass.
The owner of which NFL team passed away today?
Pass.
Who was the Milwaukee Brewers right fielder that made a critical miscue in the bottom of the 8th inning of last night's National League wildcard game?
Soto.
Who's playing in the American League wildcard game tonight? Need both teams.
Tonight we have...
Quickly. 3, 2, 1.
The A's and the Twins.
You missed it. Well, Kevin, hang on. A two has... Two has carried the day before, so it's up to Alex and Leo to do better than that. We may have a winner. We may not. I'll let you guys do your thing.
All right, Leo, are you ready?
Yes.
Once again, if you don't know the answer right away, just say pass. We will come back to it. Here we go. In what season did Iowa last play Michigan in football?
2017.
Which team starting pitcher in tonight's AL wildcard game has a direct tie to Iowa baseball coach Rick Heller?
Sean Manea.
Very good. The Big 12 team, this Big 12 team revealed it will be wearing black and white uniforms on Saturday.
Iowa State.
Who is men's basketball preseason player of the year in the Big Ten?
Cassius Winston.
How many internal candidates will the Cubs front office interview for its managerial opening?
3.
What do Fred Hoiberg and Juwan Howard currently have in common?
They both coach in the Big Ten.
What Big Ten school fired its football coach Sunday night?
Rutgers.
Did he run the table?
No, he
missed the first one.
First question.
Oh, I thought we were going to have a Hall of Famer there. Hey, Leo, congratulations. You are going to see Disturbed at the U.S. Cellular Center on Wednesday night, a week from tonight. We thank the U.S. Cellular Center for those tickets, and better luck next time to all of the folks who tried to get in and win tonight. Thought we had a Hall of Famer there. Lost track.
Question number 6 is an interesting one. What do Fred Hoiberg and Juwan Howard currently have in common? He said both are Big Ten basketball coaches.
That's accurate.
Coaches.
They're both first-year Big Ten coaches.
And the first question was, what season did Iowa last play Michigan in football?
He said 17.
He said 2017. The answer is 2016, so he was very close.
14-13 that year, right?
Yeah,
that
Keith was Duncan, game-winning field goal.
The one-point game, and then Keith Duncan, we've never heard from him again, have we?
What's he doing these days?
Yeah, what's he doing? The Bears play the Raiders on Sunday in London. I'm kicking myself because about 3 minutes before we started, I was running down the NFL games, and I said, yeah, the Bears have a game coming up with the Raiders. How many major league teams finished? 4 teams with 100-plus victories. Iowa finished picked to finish 8th. In the preseason poll, I think he got both of those right. The 5 remaining unbeaten Big Ten college teams in football: Ohio State, Penn State, Iowa, Wisconsin, and wait for it, Minnesota. Golden Gophers still have yet to lose. They've got Illinois at home this weekend. I like their chances. Arizona, the owner of the Arizona Cardinals, passed away today. Trent Grisham is the name of the Brewers right fielder that made the mistake in the 8th inning that opened the door for Washington to win last night. And the A's and the Rays play tonight in the American League wildcard game. We'll have that for you right here on KGYM after this program finishes up on all 3 frequencies, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM at 7 o'clock tonight as Sean Manea, former Rick Heller prodigy at Indiana State, fresh off a return from Tommy John surgery, taking the ball for the A's tonight. Charlie Morton, the pitcher for Tampa Bay. And we ask you today at KGYMradio.com, who wins tonight's AL wildcard game? That's our poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. It's a good 6-2 thumping on the showdown
solid
tonight.
Solid performance there.
Good job, Leo. Better than I would have done on some of those questions. Kyle is in the studio. Better late than never. We'll get a big board update here brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. Three times a day on the program, we turn to Kyle to keep you up to date on what's going on across the state and here locally on the sports scene. Alexander Lumber is found on 420th Street in Iowa City, not all that far from the Sinclair gas station and that big green dinosaur. And you also have the Answers by Alexander showroom in Iowa City on South Gilbert Street.
It's Big Ten Basketball Media Day today in Chicago, and that came with an honor for Iowa sophomore guard Joe Wieskamp. The 6'6" member of last season's all-freshman team averaged 11 points and just under 5 boards per game and was second in the Big Ten, shooting 42% from beyond the arc. And today he was named to the preseason all-conference team, one of just 10 members to be selected. Michigan State's Cassius Winston was the unanimous preseason player of the year. The conference has done away with the official preseason rankings, but the media still conducted theirs and projected the Hawkeyes to finish 8th. That said, Fran McCaffrey said today there is no debate Michigan State is the team to beat. That media poll, by the way, chose Bettendorf graduate Ohio State point guard DJ Carton as the freshman of the year. McCaffrey was also asked for an update on Iowa guard Jordan Bohannon's health, and he made it sound as if he's more optimistic today than he was a couple months ago that Bohannon may be able to play this season, but by no means did he say it's something to be counted on. They're still stressing Bohannon getting to 100% first and foremost. Cordell Pemsl is still suspended from team activities, and Luca Garza said he's added 10 pounds, and so now at 6'11", he's at 260 pounds. Last night on KGYM, you heard the Nationals make an 8th-inning comeback to steal the National League wild card from the Brewers, advancing to face the Dodgers in a divisional series. And tonight, after the show on all three frequencies, we'll have the A's hosting the Rays to settle things in the American League. The winner of that one gets to face the Astros. And again, KGYM will be your home for playoff baseball.
How tall is Garza listed?
6'11".
So if he transferred to play football at Kentucky, he would be
6'8"? 6'9", yeah.
I still can't get over
something in the water down there.
There probably aren't a whole lot of Iowa fans paying attention to what Ahmad Wagner is doing at Kentucky.
Well, you might want
to
start.
That kid looks like he could be the next Iowa tight end in the NFL. Can the Hawkeyes claim him if he gets drafted or signed into the league?
No, I don't think so.
Put him up
so.
There with George Kittle and TJ Hawkinson, Noah Fant.
See,
Ahmad Wagner.
He's playing outside receiver for Kentucky right now. They're using him strictly as their deep threat, their DK Metcalf type, if you will. So I think we're going to see his name called coming up this spring. That's my hunch.
Yeah, I think Iowa would have definitely liked to have kept him on campus, but he had other things in mind and wanted a little bit of a fresh start, and he's found one in the Bluegrass State. 319-366-1600. That's an encouraging report on Garza putting on a little weight. That was such a tough off season for him last year with the 9-pound cyst that was removed from him. He's essentially added that weight back in a healthy way. It took him so long to get going last year because he just wasn't quite 100% from a stamina standpoint. He's going to be a big key, I think, this year for Iowa, and they will go as far as Joe Wieskamp can carry them, but Luca Garza is going to have a say in that as well.
He's going to have to be big, and not just physically, but figuratively as well. I look at him and I look at Joe Wieskamp, and I think more so for Wieskamp, but both of those guys have to be even better than they were last year. I don't have very high expectations for this team, but maybe that's a good thing for this basketball team. I think there's a lot of people doubting what they can do, especially if Jordan Bohannon cannot play and all the losses that they've had. But I really don't know as far as preseason projections. Is 8 about right? It seems like it. I could see them falling a couple of spots lower. And the only way that I think they can rise up is if we see that huge leap from Joe Wieskamp. Joe Toussaint steps in and makes an impact right away as a true freshman, which you can never count on, by the way. And Luca Garza takes another step forward. But all in all, pretty quiet from a lot of people as far as not a ton of expectations for this team.
The media balloting, and again, the Columbus Dispatch and the Athletic had two voters representing each school, two beat writers. Iowa picked as to finish as high as fourth and as low as 12th. So eighth is sort of almost middle ground. They're like a happy medium. I'm taking a look at the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. I had referenced the Detroit Lions and crossing my fingers that my Lion King obsessed offspring would not wind up becoming a fan of TJ Hawkinson's current team. 27-26 says my son chose the Cowboys as his favorite team because of Woody from Toy Story. That's a real thing, says 27-26. My son also likes Toy Story, and I'm not sure I could handle a Cowboys fan in my life.
That's something you probably grow out of, though, right, as you get older?
I don't see somebody else on the text line. 0482 says when you're a toddler, you don't have to be a fan for life.
Right, because it's not like you're going to be 26 years old, still a Cowboys fan, and somebody asks you, oh, you're from Iowa, how'd you become a Cowboys fan?
Woody from Toy Story. What other NFL teams match up with Toy Story characters? Is it Buzz Lightyear? I'm trying to think. Yeah, you're putting me on the spot. I'm putting myself on the spot here. John Ratzenberger, a guy who played Cliff Clavin on Cheers. He voices the piggy bank. All I can think of is the Hogs and Washington's old line with Russ Grimm and those guys. Maybe that tie in. I don't know what I'm doing today. I'm talking about Steve Walford autographed photos. That really is. I walked in the building today and I don't exactly have the sunniest of dispositions here. And everybody today could just tell it's like Katrina and the waves, man. This guy's walking on sunshine. He got into the dope before he walked into the building, or something's up with him today. What's going on? And I was like, you guys are not going to believe this. And I was so excited. I should have brought the darn thing. I would have showed it to everybody like show and tell. I got a Steve Alford autographed photo for $2 at this yard sale today, and I'm going to repurpose that frame. It's going to look wonderful with one of my other autographed photos in it hanging on the wall. Photo will figure out something to do with this Steve Alford picture.
I know you get certain memorabilia where you're like, oh, yeah, thank you. I appreciate this. And then I don't see it again. And I always wonder what happens to it. Is there
room here in the, do we not? We have room in the studio for the autographed Steve Alford photo. I'm trying to figure out where would you like to see that photo every day? I'd like to be able to come in here and stare at it. Just remind me of how lucky I am to still have a job.
And remind you how it's your fault. It's our fault if we screw up.
It's accountability. It's an anti-accountability lesson, I suppose.
No, sorry. It's Kyle's fault if we screw up.
6497 says dartboard. We don't have a dartboard in here. It would take too much. It would make too much noise. We don't have, this isn't Dan Patrick. We don't have 3,000 square feet where we can put a NASCAR simulator and a foosball table or anything like that. We're pretty limited on our square footage here, so we don't want to go too far overboard there. I am super excited about the Hawkeye posters, though. Now I just need to figure out how I'm going to get those framed. 319-366-1600. Earlier on in the program, if you're just joining us, we were discussing such a pertinent topic. The best finds that we've ever come across at yard sales, rummage sales, antique stores. You think in the era of eBay that most people would not find these like a solid find. Most people go to eBay and try to figure out how much their junk is worth. But occasionally you'll still have somebody who they just want to get rid of something, or maybe it's an estate sale and they have no idea what something is worth, and they put it out there.
See, that's why I was asking you. I haven't been to a yard sale in a long time. I'm curious. Do they look a lot different than they used to?
No, not at all.
Still the same?
A garage sale that I went to when I was 7 or 8 years old with my mom 30 years ago, still the same.
Still Wednesdays and Saturdays?
Are there specific days? I know weekends
I
are weekends
there
are
Wednesdays
good.
And Saturdays.
Weekends are good because people have more time to drive around and by the way, I just want everybody to know and understand that you are part of a fraternity listening to this program, or a sorority. We do have some female listeners. And as such, you will understand this when I say that the first text said dartboard, and we've gotten three texts after that, and dartboard has been the best option. The listeners have been somewhat graphic with their suggestions. Dartboard remains the only thing that I can actually say on the air at this point. 5:52, we need to take a quick timeout. Just a reminder, if you've got a fantasy football question for Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com, please get those to us in advance. That always helps to prime the pump, so to speak. 319-366-1600. Thank you, 807061. We see you popping in to the feed at the moment. Tristan joining us courtesy of Imon Communications tonight at 6:15 to help answer your fantasy football questions. We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store for the final hour of a Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Wednesdays by City Tractor of North Liberty. Give them a call for all your outdoor equipment needs, 665-6500. Back with more after this.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
It's a special Thursday night game for Iowa City High on the road this Thursday night, and 106.3 FM will be there. Join Miles Klotz and Gary Fickle this Thursday at 7 on 106.3 as the Little Hawks head east to take on Davenport North. The Little Hawks won their district opener last Friday and face a Wildcat team trying to secure their first district win. That's high school football presented by Hills Bank, Iowa City High at Davenport North. Thursday night at 7 on 106.3 FM, KGYM.
5:55, welcome back in a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Our lead-in every day from 3 until 4 here on local programming is the gym class with Scott Unash, whose voice you just heard, along with Mark Dukes, the former editor, sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. The gym class brought to you daily by Third Base Brewery. Just like KGYM, proud to be locally owned and operated, Third Base Brewery, the presenting sponsor of the gym class. Unfortunate NFL news today for a former Iowa Hawkeye. The Cleveland Browns have announced that Christian Kirksey is going to miss the remainder of the season. He had a successful surgery to repair a torn pectoral tendon.
Chest injury.
Is different than the muscle, right? The tendon is the connective tissue that holds the muscle to the... That sounds yes. Almost worse than the muscle tear. He has carved out a very nice niche for himself in the NFL.
He's heck of a linebacker in the NFL.
Unfortunate to see his season come to an end.
An injury to your pectoral muscle just does not sound pleasant.
We have for you a 6 o'clock hour that will start with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com answering your fantasy football questions. It is also the opening night of the National Hockey League. This is something that Alex is very excited about. Who are the Blues hosting tonight?
All caps, the Washington Capitals.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't say anything to Lystico when he was on with us the other day. He's a big Caps fan.
Yeah, you know, I knew that, but I forgot.
The Blackhawks and the Flyers play Friday in Prague, I believe it is. So happy NHL opening night, everybody. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back and we'll revisit the poll question before the 6 o'clock hour gets underway.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Welcome back in. The fantasy football season continuing with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com, set to help you get your lineups in order for the coming week. You can get those questions to us now, 319-366-1600. There is one way to jump to the front of the line. We actually have about nine texts at the moment. The fastest way at 6:15 tonight is to pick up the phone and give us a call at 319-366-1600. Callers always get priority over the text line. Tristan's appearance every week brought to you by Imon Communications. Poll question for you tonight. Who wins the American League wildcard game? It's being played at the Coliseum in Oakland. The A's are breaking out the Kelly Green jerseys tonight. It's a good look on them. Kind of harkens back to their 1970s Charlie Finley days. Tampa Bay going with Charlie Morton, Sean Manaea, the left-hander for Oakland. Should be a very good game. I thought last night's NL wildcard contest was a very good game. They got out to the early lead, the Brewers did, and then just could not close the deal with Trent Grisham's miscue in the bottom of the eighth inning. 319-366-1600. Again, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com answering your fantasy football questions when the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn returns after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KZIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The baseball postseason continues tonight in Oakland. The A's host the Rays in the American League wildcard game. Charlie Morton gets the start for Tampa Bay, Sean Manaea for Oakland. And ESPN's Buster Olney believes this could be the start of something big for the A's.
I really feel like that if Oakland gets through this game, they could be a dangerous team moving forward. I think everyone looks at the Astros being the team to beat, and maybe the team with the best chance to beat them would be Oakland.
Buster Olney on the Baseball Tonight podcast. Coverage of tonight's game at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio and TV. The A's have lost 8 straight winner-take-all playoff games, the longest streak in baseball history, according to Elias. The Indians will pick up a $17.5 million option on two-time Cy Young winner Corey Kluber for next year, but they won't pick up a $16.5 million option on second baseman Jason Kipnis. The Patriots put kicker Steven Guskowski on injured reserve today. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports Guskowski will have season-ending surgery on his left hip. The Bengals put wideout John Ross on IR. He hurt his right shoulder Monday night against the Steelers. Bears linebacker Roquan Smith will play Sunday in London against the Raiders. He missed week 4 because of personal reasons. The new NHL season faces off tonight. The St. Louis Blues will raise their first Stanley Cup banner before their game against the Washington Capitals. Brooks Koepka won three PGA Tour events last year, including his fourth major. Today, he revealed he had stem cell treatment on his left knee in August.
It's a top 25 Big Ten showdown on Saturday night. 25th-ranked Michigan State, 4th-ranked Ohio State. Coverage begins Saturday at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ABC. Presented by Dr. Pepper.
Longtime Metro rivals meet once again this Friday night on KGYM. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Join John Haggerty, Jeff Moss, and me Friday night at 7 on 1600 AM for the annual battle between Washington and number 7 rated Kennedy. The Cougars come into this one with only one loss in the season and run up against a Warrior team wanting to pull the gigantic upset. That's high school football presented by Hills Bank, Washington, and number 7 Kennedy. Friday night at 7 on 1600 AM, the main gym, KGYM.
KGYM is here to cover everything you need to know about sports betting in Iowa. This is WagerWise, sponsored by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort.
Another week, another opportunity to put some knowledge to good use at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside, the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort, bringing you WagerWise with Jake Reed, the manager of the Elite Sportsbook. I'm very excited. I'm going to be in Riverside this weekend watching the Iowa-Michigan game with some friends since the Hawkeyes are on the road. And Jake, what do you guys got going on this week and in the coming weeks at the Elite Sportsbook?
Aside from the normal college football, pro football, getting everybody together, watching it all on Sunday Ticket and there, draft day, we also got UFC 243 showing this weekend. The main card event starts about 9 p.m., so I'm hoping that gets filled up and have a bunch of entertainment down there and get everybody in the mood for the event. And also have a promotion coming here in November where we're still trying to find all some details, but we'll be giving away some Bears Vikings tickets and some expense paid trip to go see that game. So this is what we got going on in the coming months.
We'll get to the Bears in a little bit. They're in London this weekend taking on the Raiders. But let's go ahead and start with Iowa and Michigan. This is going to be a big game for you guys at the Elite Sportsbook, would be my guess. Michigan's a 3.5-point favorite in that game. The total set at 47 points right now. What type of action are you seeing so far on it?
Yeah, we opened at Iowa being a 6-point underdog. So we actually, that the line moved quite a bit just in the week that we only had it open for about 4 or 5 days. They are 4-1 in the last 5 games against Michigan, so they got a little bit of a chance, but Michigan's won the last 3 out of 4 home games, so being a home game, we'll see what happens there. We got about 60% of the money on Iowa to cover the spread, and a lot of people thinking that the over is going to happen on that matchup.
Now, the underdog, 11-3 against the spread in the last 14 meetings, so that trend there would favor Iowa. Iowa State also in action this weekend, Alex.
Yeah, Jake, what about Iowa State trying to bounce back off of that loss last week? They take on TCU as about a 3.5-point favorite at home.
Yeah, it's actually, I think it moved to 4 points favorited. Pretty close matchup in the betting industry, in the betting world. They think we got a leaning towards Iowa State to win. TCU, they're 3-2 against Iowa State. A lot of total bettors. The last 5 matches between these two have went over, so that continues.
Yeah, the under is 5-1 in the last 6 meetings between TCU and Iowa State. The total at the Elite Sportsbook, 45. A reminder, anytime we reference the lines, they are provided by the Elite Sportsbook at the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. A couple other interesting Big Ten games this weekend, one in the Big Ten West. Illinois travels to Minnesota. The Golden Gophers are a 2-touchdown favorite.
Yeah, they got I think they're going to have to show up for this one. Their coach in the news has been getting some heat. They've lost 2 games by a total of 7 points, so I feel like they're just barely losing their games. So that 14-point favorite kind of seems pretty appealing with the way they've been conducting. Let's see if they can end Michigan's 4-0 streak they got going.
Northwestern and Nebraska. Nebraska coming back after getting shellacked by Ohio State. They're at home against a Northwestern team that kept things close against Wisconsin. Nebraska is around a touchdown favorite in this game.
Yeah, Northwestern, they've been struggling. I think that they're going to, the last 2 matchups against Nebraska, they've won. So we'll see if they can pull it through again. Again, you said that they're Nebraska's favorite. We'll see if they can show up and keep their streak against Nebraska going.
And Northwestern's had really good success against the Huskers, 4-0 against the spread in their last four meetings. The road team, 5-0-1 against the spread in that series as well. Northwestern also a big October team against the spread, 10-2-1 against the number in their last 13 games in the month of November. Let's chat NFL, get back to the Bears and Raiders. They are heading to London. These games are very popular, sort of tough to watch sometimes given the start times here, but obviously a lot of interest in the Bears. I'm sure you see a lot of Bears fans on Sunday inside the Draft Day Lounge.
Yeah, we have in this area, we have a lot of support for the Bears. There's about 70 to 75% of the bets have been going on the Bears spread. Oakland is about 0-5 against the spread in the last five games, so the statistics are pointing towards the Bears.
When you look at the Packers and the Cowboys in Dallas, what is the action telling you so far?
Packers are another, they're my favorite. There's another team that we have a lot of follow in this region. They both coming off of weeks between where they kind of got barely lost, and Aaron Rodgers throwing that interception at the end, last 20 seconds to make, they could have done something. The Cowboys just couldn't quite pull it off against them last week, and the Saints, about 55% of it is towards the Cowboys, so it's still a lot of betting towards the Cowboys as a favorite, but I think it might be an upset.
A lot of trends in that matchup favor Green Bay, the underdog 5-1 against the spread, and the road team 5-1 against the spread last six meetings, but 5-0, the over, the last five meetings in Dallas between the Packers and the Cowboys, the total at the Elite Sportsbook currently 46.5 points. How about we finish up with the Colts and the Chiefs? This is this week's Sunday night game. Kansas City coming off a scare against the Lions, a 10.5-point favorite at home against Indianapolis.
Yeah, last week we had a lot of betting on the Chiefs, and they didn't quite pull off the spread. I don't know if a bunch of people are intimidated by that, but we are seeing quite a bit of action on the Colts, plus 10.5. So we'll see if the Chiefs can turn it around this week. I think they'll have a bit of a better shot this go-round.
One last time, sounds like a big weekend at the Elite Sportsbook. Not only Iowa and Michigan kicking off in the morning, but UFC 243. You said that was 9 o'clock, right?
Yeah, the main card starts at 9. We got the preliminary fights and stuff like that going off before, but I expect most people will want to just see the main card fights.
Jake Reed, the manager of the Elite Sportsbook inside Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. You can find him next to the Draft Day Lounge. We appreciate it as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm so tempted to look at Iowa and that matchup in Ann Arbor, not just look at the spread, but see what you can get them on the money line, because I think that at least from where I'm looking at, it's possible that the wrong team may be favored. We don't know which Michigan team we're going to see, but so far Iowa has shown they are the better team in this matchup.
Iowa winning five of the last six straight up against the Wolverines. Michigan is just 4-12 against the number in their last 16 games. One interesting trend, Iowa-Michigan, the over, which currently the total on that game, 47 points, the over is 8-1 in the last nine Iowa road games. So the Hawkeyes and the over on the road may be a play there. Let's get back to the Bears and Raiders going to London, because there are some interesting trends in games that the NFL plays in London. The favorites, and the Bears are a 5-point favorite right now at the Elite Sportsbook. Favorites in London are 18-5-1 straight up if you play the money line, but they're also 15-9 against the spread. So the favorites tend to do well in those games in London. The Bears 5-1 against the spread the last six times that they've played Oakland. The under is 8-1 in the last nine Bears games. The total on that one, 41. I'm not seeing a whole lot of value there, but if you're looking to play the under there, keep that in mind, that the last nine Bears games, that tremendous defense with Khalil Mack and company, 8-1 the last nine games the under has hit in Bears games.
Yeah, and that's a Raiders offense that has struggled mightily. So the Bears, a lot of people thought, you know what, their defense would take a step back. They are dominant, and you talk about the trends in those London games. Everything's pointing towards the Bears.
A TCU Iowa State, by the way, the Horned Frogs just 2-5 against the spread in their last 7 meetings against the Cyclones. Iowa State, though, riding an 0-4 losing streak against the spread in its last 4 Big 12 games. That game airing on Saturday here on 1600 AM. Illinois-Minnesota, another game that we hit on. Minnesota, a 2-touchdown favorite over the Illini. The underdog, 7-3 against the spread in the last 10 meetings in that game. You heard Jake say it's a big weekend in Riverside, Iowa. Michigan kicking off at 11 a.m. and UFC 243. The undercard action early, but the main event starting at 9 o'clock. A big weekend at the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort and the Elite Sportsbook.
WagerWise on KGYM is a paid presentation brought to you by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Check them out at EliteSportsbook.com.
KGYM and Smart FM are the perfect fall combination for football. All the info you need to get ready for the big game and all the smart rock you need to get ready for your pregame festivities. Tailgates go better with Smart Rock from Smart FM. If you're heading to the Hawkeye game or getting together with your buddies before kickoff, Smart Rock pairs perfectly with brats, burgers, and barbecue. Next big game, prepare your pregame feast with a side of Smart Rock from Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
And it's 6:13, and we welcome you back in. The 6 o'clock hour officially underway on the Todd Brawl Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Wednesdays by City Tractor of North Liberty. You can give them a call during regular business hours, of course, 665-6500 for all your outdoor equipment needs. A full-service line of John Deere tractors, other equipment as well. They can have it, and if they don't have it, they can get it for you. City Tractor in North Liberty, the presenting sponsor of Wednesday's edition of the Todd Brawl Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. We'll have more baseball chatter coming up in just a little bit. 6497 says, pro tip, pick the opposite of Todd. Actually having a very nice season. Unfortunately, the picks that I share publicly have not been...
You got to call the special number to get the good stuff.
We got Lee Sterling coming up with us on Friday. His weekly segment, Odds and Ends. Lee has had a nice season as well, picking winners. Fantasy football is pretty much gambling, right? You put a little money in the pot at the beginning of the season. You hope to win more at the end. Here to help you do that is Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Sultan of Stat. And Tristan, what's the big fantasy storyline heading into this week of NFL play?
That's a great question. I'm going to say personally that it's Melvin Gordon. And yeah, we had a little bit of a discussion last week with him reporting to the Chargers, but he did not play a single snap. He suited up for the game, not one snap during this past week, which means that backfield is under the microscope. And it's especially so because the Denver matchup is an extremely favorable one. So this is a very important play. Do you use him or do you not? And my take is, if you can deal with 10 to 12 carries, I think you're going to be pretty happy with what you get. But 10 to 12 carries is not one of the RB1s.
74-25 texts us all the way back in the 4 o'clock hour and wants to know, they're in a PPR league and need to start either Tariq Cohen or Royce Freeman in that last running back slot.
And it was PPR or non-PPR?
PPR.
If it's a PPR league, I'm going to go with Tariq Cohen. The Oakland matchup is a favorable one, a little bit more so for just for receiving. So, like in his case, he's going to get a little bit of a bump for that. I like that part of the matchup for him a little bit more than I do for David Montgomery.
0-4-5-9 in a standard league, looking for a quarterback to play this week between Russell Wilson or Carson Wentz.
I would. That's awfully close. They're 7-9 for me. Wilson's the one I rank higher here. I'm going to try to exploit the fact that the Rams' defense looked pretty bad this past week. It seemed like they could not get any coverage, especially on the deep throws. That kind of benefits Wilson. He does attempt those from time to time, and also he's got the mobility. So I'd say go for that right off of last week's bad Rams performance. I can make it a case that the Jets' defense is also not especially good against some of the Eagles' receivers, but I'm going Wilson here. I guess it's just a hunch.
17-27 is in a standard league and needs a flex option between Mecole Hardman or Marquise Brown, and also notes that Amari Cooper and Davante Adams, if healthy, are the other wide receiver spots on his other wide receiver options on his team.
Well, I think you're going to end up starting both because I don't think Adams is going to play. I really doubt that. A lot of the early reports are just that he's going to have a hard time suiting up for this week. And even if he does, he might be limited here. I prefer Hardman if I'm going to pick between these two. I very much just want a part of that Kansas City defense or Kansas City passing game with Patrick Mahomes. So that's the direction I'd go if I had to pick. But I think you're going to ultimately start both.
6275 on the text line, and again that number 366-1600 if you've got a question for Tristan. 6275, full point PPR league, needs to sit one of the following four running backs: Austin Eckler, Leonard Fournette, Todd Gurley, or David Johnson. Sit one.
Cannot be David Johnson. Cannot be Todd Gurley. Matchups are too good. So it's down to Fournette and Eckler. And as good as Eckler's been, as much as he's getting the touches, what I brought up before about Gordon is going to have an impact on Eckler. The Chargers don't seem to want to use him heavily as a running back here, so there is the very real possibility he carries the ball five to eight times. If that is the case, there's just not enough for him. Even facing a great matchup, he'd be the one I leave out.
28-63 needs a quarterback option, either Aaron Rodgers against Dallas or Jimmy G against Cleveland.
If I'm going to sit Aaron Rodgers, I'd have to hope for better than Jimmy Garoppolo. Not producing at the level that I'm going to trust him unless the matchups are really favorable. And the Cleveland matchup, while above average, it's just not great. Even with Rodgers missing, and I'm assuming he's missing Davante Adams, going up against Dallas, a defense that's played very well against the pass so far. They've also faced a lot of weak quarterbacks. This is going to be the best quarterback they've faced. I'm going with Rodgers. I'm going with the history and the talent.
72-58 in a standard scoring league. Ronald Jones III or Kenyon Drake?
It's close between those two. I'd almost flip a coin between these two. Well, this is the thing. For this week, Drake's off. Drake's off, if I'm not mistaken. So Jones is going to get the okay here for this week just because of that. At least I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Miami's off. Miami and Detroit are the two teams that are off. If I'm looking at them long term, and I think this is kind of a key based on what Jones did last week, I kind of go with Drake because I think he's going to get more touches of the two of them. But I did like what I saw. I'm going to swing things to Jones right now for the rest of the year.
9761 wants to know whether any of these trade packages would pique your interest to potentially part ways with Nick Chubb. Kerryon Johnson, Chris Godwin is the first. James Conner and Cooper Kupp are the second. Le'Veon Bell, Davante Adams the third. And Joe Mixon, Jarvis Landry the fourth.
Wow, those are all very good offers. You initially had me there with the Connor and I believe it was Connor and Davante Adams, wasn't it?
It was the first one was Kerryon Johnson, Chris Connor and Cooper Kupp.
It was Connor and Cooper Kupp. Yeah, and Kupp is a high end wide receiver too, I would say. But the Adams one was actually really good, even with him potentially missing this week. That was a very good trade. It was Le'Veon Bell,
yes,
and Davante Adams. That's the one that I would take. I think that's getting two guys who can be top 10 performers at their position each and every week. That's the kind of value I'd love to get for Nick Chubb if I'm going to catch him that chip. I would also be okay with the Connor and Kupp offer. I am a very big fan of Connor's. I know he's on the injury report this week. There is a chance he might not play. But I do think the Steelers have enough opportunity in that backfield that they're going to use both guys, including Jalen Samuels, heavily all year. And Connor's right now the lead guy. So either one, I'd rank them 1-2 that, given those choices.
80-70-61 standard PPR league. I'm hoping that that's a PPR, maybe full point it means by standard. Standard PPR league need a flex play between DJ Chark, Golden Tate, or Tyrell Williams.
Okay, Chark, Tate, or Williams. So Chark's going up against Carolina, a defense that's played pretty well so far. Grading a little bit below average, I'd say close to the bottom eight, so that's a little bit of a tough one. Terrell Williams, Chicago, a pretty tough matchup himself. I'd say that's a worse one. So I'm going to go with Chark here. I'm trying to talk myself out of him. What I've been saying is that I can't stand that he's doing well because it keeps bringing the Shark song into my head that my kids sing all the time. I can't look at DJ Chark and not think of that song. But, yeah, it's him. I think he's got the best potential.
Tristan, are you panicking right now seeing that game plan that Mike Tomlin put together for Mason Rudolph if you're a Juju Smith-Schuster or a James Washington or Deontay Johnson owner?
Yeah, I am. It's a little bit of a spread the ball around when he does air it out. Johnson actually was the one who impressed me more this past week. Smith-Schuster, that performance this week and that level of usage was troubling. And I know I've said I did believe that Smith-Schuster would still put up productive numbers. If this is the direction they're going, he's going to have a hard time being a top 20 wide receiver. It's just the reality of the situation. Smith-Schuster, Thielen, and Diggs of the Vikings are the three receivers who we treated as very clear candidates for the top 10 in the preseason, certainly at the least top 12, whose usage is really, really concerning me. And we have to downgrade them accordingly. I think it's a real problem for them. Johnson, though, is still an interesting dynasty play, though.
22-72, a PPR league. Baker Mayfield at San Francisco on Monday night, or Jacoby Brissett at Kansas City on Sunday night?
Ooh, and it is close here. So on the raw talent, I would give you Baker Mayfield. I'll tell you that I've got this hunch that the Sunday game is going to be a shootout where they're throwing a good amount. I think Brissett is going to be asked to do an awful lot throwing. I rank him two spots higher, and that's the reason why. I think there's going to be a lot of volume.
All right, let's head to the phone lines. Dan in Cedar Rapids is jumping the texters, 319-366-1600. Dan, you're on with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. What do you got?
Hey, I'm a Packer fan. I love Aaron Rodgers. I have him. I also have Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm looking. Do I give Jimmy a chance?
I'm using Rodgers. I gave a description before that he's facing a very difficult matchup. It's one of his tougher ones. Dallas playing good against the pass. Actually, quite well against the pass. They've also played some, you know, no-name quarterbacks. I'm still starting him. I just think he's a much more talented player than Jimmy Garoppolo. So I'll take the bias out of your hands and give you the endorsement. It's Aaron Rodgers.
All right, Tristan, I'm looking here. I've got to make sure we get 47-46 has a standard scoring league. Frank Gore or DJ Chark for the flex spot?
Okay, and this could swing a little bit based on whether Devin Singletary plays this game. Dealing with the injuries over the past couple of weeks, he's missed the past two games. That's swinging things into Gore's hands in terms of the volume. I would use him if Singletary gets scratched. That said, I'm planning on Singletary being active for this game, and I think Chark is the better play in that case.
69-64 is in a PPR league and wants to know who to sit out of these five players: Josh Gordon, Jarvis Landry, DJ Chark, Will Fuller, and LeSean McCoy.
All right, and in that case, I would probably sit LeSean McCoy out of those. He has a role on his team. He's performed all right so far. I'm not wowed by things I've seen from him, but he's been productive enough. As a matter of fact, in our scoring system, right about 14 points, productive enough. That's a borderline top 20 guy. Part of that has to do with the fact that he's had the opportunity with Daniel Williams' absence, but Darrell Williams has performed well too. So there's a little bit of a committee thing going on. I'd sit McCoy.
Let's go back to the phone lines and bring Roger in Cedar Rapids on board. He's got a question about quarterbacks. Roger, what's your dilemma this week?
Yeah, two quick questions here. The quarterback, Watson, Winston, or Rivers?
I would go with Watson there against Atlanta. Atlanta losing Keanu Neal, that's definitely going to downgrade their pass defense. I think he's got the best matchup, and I don't think he's got talent that rivals the others.
Okay, and do I give up on Tyler Boyd yet?
I wouldn't. Actually, the injury to John Ross could bump things up for Tyler Boyd. One thing I like about him is that I'm usually a fan of the slot receivers, and Boyd gets a lot of usage in that role. they get the advantageous matchup against opposing cornerbacks. So I could actually see over the next couple of weeks a bump up in value for Boyd.
All right, thank you.
All right, Tristan, let's end on a question from 6602. Is it time to panic if you're a DeAndre Hopkins owner?
I'll say no, and I looked into this a couple days ago, actually, because I was asking myself this very question, and the usage numbers didn't really trouble me. I was running a couple grades. The other one, too, and it's a shame that he's likely to miss this week because of the injuries, was Christian Kirk. In terms of usage numbers, that I said, you know, I feel pretty good about those. Kirk, I think, was tied for fourth or fifth in targets among wide receivers. It was pretty incredible. In Hopkins' case, though, he's putting up the numbers that you expect in terms of the usage. The only thing that's shifted is that he's not getting the end zone targets that he did last year, but those can be fluky week over week. We've seen it with Julio Jones before. So my take would be buy now if you can. If anybody has doubt that he has top five wide receiver ability, it's a good time to strike.
All right, ESPN.com, fantasy football tabs, weekly matchups, rankings, everything. Tristan, we appreciate it as always. Thanks a lot.
Always my pleasure. Good luck this week.
Give him a follow on Twitter at Sultan of Stat. I agree with him on the Sunday night game between Kansas City and the Colts. I think that could be a highly entertaining shootout, given the fact that Detroit, Kansas City, turned into a shootout this past week.
But the Colts.
Yeah, but Jacoby Brissett has thrown multiple touchdown passes in, has it been every game this season? I mean, he's quietly flying under the radar, and that Kansas City defense got picked apart by Matthew Stafford. So I'm not saying Kansas City's a bad football team, because I think most of us know they've got a lot of talent there. But that game may be better than some people are giving it credit for. And Bears Raiders in London, hope for a big game out of David Montgomery if you're a David Montgomery owner.
Yeah, I'm starting to get a little worried about Matt Nagy's offense and David Montgomery and anybody else in that offense.
I came as close to doing a handstand as I've been able to do in the last 25 years on draft night when I got David Montgomery, and then week one sort of kicked me in the sack, and ever since then, I don't have any better options. I say that, though, I do have Jalen Samuels on my bench waiting for a possible injury to James Conner, and it doesn't look like I even need an injury to James Conner. There's a role for him right now in Pittsburgh. It's going to be an interesting one.
You in a PPR league?
I am in a PPR league.
I mean, with Mr. Checkdown there as their quarterback.
The minute that I do that,
they don't want to throw more than a yard down the field.
The minute I do that, I know David Montgomery is going to have his big breakout game. So it's fantasy football. That's what it is, right? 319-366-1600. We need to step aside and take a quick timeout. Reminder on Wednesdays brought to you by City Tractor in North Liberty. You can find them conveniently located just off exit 4, the North Liberty exit from Interstate 380. Or give them a call if you don't want to drop by. 665-6500. A full line of outdoor equipment specializing in John Deere tractors. City Tractor of North Liberty, our presenting sponsor on Wednesday. Back with more of the Todd Brolecamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM after this.
Remember the complaints you used to get from your family about snoring? You haven't heard those in a while, have you? And how about the way you wake up feeling refreshed in the morning instead of worn out? There's no question your CPAP or BiPAP machine treats your sleep apnea and makes a big difference in your life. So keep your CPAP or BiPAP performing well. Come to CarePro Home Medical's free walk-in CPAP BiPAP clinics tomorrow in Coralville or October 10th at their Cedar Rapids location between 3 and 5 p.m. Just bring your machine along and CarePro's respiratory therapist will check the pressure settings, tubing, filters, masks, headgear, and humidifiers. They'll see if any of the pieces need adjustment or replacement, and they'll replace your disposable filter. They want to make sure you keep getting top-notch treatment for your sleep apnea. You probably know the friendly people at CarePro go above and beyond, but if you haven't met with them yet, come to the CPAP BiPAP Clinic and see just how great they are. Connect with the people and answers you need at CarePro, CarePROHealthServices.com.
When donations are made to United Way of East Central Iowa, they're helping create lasting change in the lives of people in our community. United Way identifies where there are gaps of need, supports programs filling those gaps, and inspires others to join the fight for the health, education, and financial stability of families in East Central Iowa. That's why they say, United we fight, united we thrive. Go to uweci.org to learn more about how you, too, can join the fight.
Chad!
Tomorrow, it's all about high school football. First stop West High for the Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour. Join Whirlpool Careers, the Iowa National Guard, and area businesses handing out free stuff, playing games, and getting students pumped for kickoff. And then Friday, it's off to the stadium for West High's matchup with Linmar. Catch every pass, fumble, and touchdown on 106.3 FM with Gary Fickle and Miles Klotz. The Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour, gearing up for live high school gridiron action tomorrow, only on the gym.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Fieldhouse First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food, stay for the sports. Fieldhouse First Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
6:33, we welcome you back in on a Wednesday night. A reminder that tomorrow we were set to be at Mulligan's for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. We have moved the road trip to next Thursday night. So if you're planning on joining us for happy hour or half price wings from 6 until close, put those plans on hold for another week. We'll be doing the show from the KGYM studios tomorrow here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Let's send things over to Kyle. Three times a day, including right now, he keeps you up to speed on what's going on the sports scene with a big board update presented by Alexander Lumber of Iowa City.
It's Big Ten Basketball Media Day today in Chicago, and that came with an honor for Iowa sophomore guard Joe Wieskamp. The 6'6" member of last season's all-freshman team averaged 11 points and just under 5 boards per game and was second in the Big Ten, shooting 42% from beyond the arc. And today, he was named to the preseason all-conference team. Michigan State's Cassius Winston was the unanimous preseason player of the year. The conference has done away with the official preseason rankings, but the media still conducted theirs and projected the Hawkeyes to finish 8th. That said, Fran McCaffrey said today there's no debate that Michigan State's the team to beat. That same media poll, by the way, chose Bettendorf graduate Ohio State point guard DJ Carton as the freshman of the year. McCaffrey was also asked for an update on Iowa guard Jordan Bohannon's health, and he made it sound as if he's more optimistic today than he was a couple months ago that Bohannon may be able to play this season, but by no means did he say it's something to count on. They're still stressing Bohannon getting to 100% first and foremost. Cordell Pemsl's still suspended from team activities after being charged with a DUI, and Luca Garza said he's added 10 pounds and at 6'11" is now up to 260 pounds. Last night on KGYM, you heard the Nationals make an 8th-inning comeback to steal the National League wildcard from the Brewers, advancing to face the Dodgers in a divisional series. Tonight, after the show on all three frequencies, we'll have the A's hosting the Rays to settle things in the American League. The winner of that one gets to face the Astros, and again, KGYM will be your home for playoff baseball.
The haters coming out in full force on my picks. I'm going with Oakland tonight and the under. Give me the A's, minus 130 on the money line, and the under currently sitting at 7.5 runs at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. These two organizations are model organizations when it comes to how to build a winning team in a small market,
yeah,
in a sport that's dominated by big market clubs. The Yankees, the Astros, the Dodgers, your prohibitive favorites heading into the postseason. Little old Tampa Bay and little old Oakland. Oakland can't even get a new stadium agreement put in place. Yet these two organizations, they build from within. They've got strong farm systems. Tampa Bay probably has the best farm system in all of baseball. Oakland is not in their stratosphere with terms of farm system, but you take a look at guys like A.J. Puck Jesus Luzardo, Matt Olson, Matt Chapman, guys that have graduated to the big leagues recently for the A's. There's a lot of talent on the field between these two teams, and I think it's an opportunity now that the postseason is here. I think a lot of baseball fans maybe aren't too familiar with the A's and the Rays, but I'm anticipating a really good, well-played game tonight.
I hate to be a smart aleck or anything, but these two teams are very good. And nobody, you say people aren't familiar with them. I don't know if their fans are very familiar with them. These are two teams where the attendance is just incredibly low. Nobody goes and sees their games. That is the weirdest thing about Major League Baseball, where you have these two small market teams who are, like you said, model organizations on how to be a successful franchise in a small market, and they still rank near the bottom of the league in attendance. It's just a weird quirk of Major League Baseball.
Well, the Rays' problem is that they play at Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg,
yeah.
And that's extremely hard to get to, especially if you live on the Tampa side of the bay. It takes a really long time to get to and from Tropicana Field, and the A's, it's going to feel and sound like a soccer match tonight. The A's fans are a younger, more vibrant crowd. The baseball traditionalists, the purists, will turn their nose up at this. I love watching A's games late at night because of the vibe there in the stadium. They've done their best, the fan base has, to make it an enjoyable experience because the stadium itself is a dump.
Oh,
It's the worst stadium in baseball. The Wrigley Field haters can just shut up. Oakland Coliseum has been in need of being replaced for a decade at a minimum. And yet, there the A's are going out, and when the dugouts aren't being flooded with sewage or God knows what, they're out there winning ball games in a really tough division. Again, I look at the preseason, and I did not see much in store for Oakland going up against the Angels and Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, and I thought Seattle was going to be better than it was this year, and for a while there, Seattle came out of the blocks gangbusters, and yet, again, proving that baseball is a marathon and not a sprint. Here we are talking about the A's and the Rays in the wild card. It's our poll question tonight at KGYMradio.com. I've seen people saying that they love the second wild card, that it was a great innovation by baseball, but it's just not fair to have things come down for teams that won 90, 95 games a year for it to come down to one game. I say it's better than the old system where one of those teams wouldn't have even had the opportunity to advance to a divisional series.
What was the old saying? Deserve has nothing to do with it.
Yes.
Fair has nothing to do with it. Yeah, probably not. But first of all, the Brewers, they wouldn't even have had that chance before this system. So there's that. I think it's great for baseball. I think it's much needed, quite honestly. I laid out in hour number one why I believe that. You have a lot of discrepancy between the top teams. You don't have a lot of teams in the middle, and you have a lot of tanking teams. There are 400 win teams, and I think 500 loss teams this season, and there just weren't many pennant races. There wasn't that much excitement. This brings that excitement every single year, a one-game situation.
They had a great discussion on the MLB Network a couple nights ago about this, focusing primarily on Oakland. But the fact that, as you pointed out, there's more teams than ever that are winning 100 games. There's more teams than ever are losing. And after the trade deadline, where the teams that were losing lose even more because they trade off pieces like Nicholas Castellanos to the Cubs, trades like that, if you can keep plugging and you can keep winning games, that there's an advantage almost to being in the middle. Whereas you winning 100 games, losing 100 games, but if you're in the middle and you're just picking up wins here and there, and especially when they're given to you by teams like the Tigers or the Royals or in the National League, the Marlins, that's a model that can be somewhat successful in today's game. And I think it is a big problem when you've got teams that are out there, the Orioles, who lost 100 games last year and somehow managed to look worse this year. And you had two teams in the Royals and Tigers in the same division that were just absolutely atrocious. The Royals still looking for a new manager, by the way.
The Tigers are worse than the Orioles. How is it possible to be worse than the Orioles? How is that humanly possible? And then I could say the same thing about the Marlins. That is amazing to me that there were two teams worse than the Miami Marlins, and there was a team actually worse than the Baltimore Orioles.
The Marlins have some young help on the way. It's still a couple years off, but if I'm a Marlins fan, I at least see a sliver of light at the end of a very long tunnel. The Royals have some talented players on the roster right now. Their farm system is good, but not great. I can't see. There's not a whole lot of help coming for the Detroit Tigers. And there certainly is not for Baltimore. I know they drafted Adley Rutschman with the number one overall pick, and I think he has a chance to be a very good major league player. But the Orioles system and the Tigers system, to me, leave a lot to be desired at this point. Again, A's and Rays tonight. Charlie Morton is a very, very talented pitcher. Probably doesn't get the credit that he deserves. Sean Manaea can be lights out. We've seen that from him with the no-hitter. I'm going to go with Oakland because I think Oakland has the better lineup from top to bottom with the opportunity to put a good swing on a ball and put one in the seats. So I'm expecting a low-scoring game tonight. Kind of similar vein to last night's National League wildcard game. And that could be a tough out now for the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers will win that series, but the Nationals are going to give them everything they can. The Dodgers just need to get into their bullpen. If they get into Washington's bullpen, that series will take care of itself.
I think that's what will happen. I think the Dodgers get past that. Maybe they drop one game. But for tonight's game, you look at the Astros. Who are they wanting to play? Who would they rather play?
I think the Astros are so confident they would rather play anybody. I would steer clear of Oakland if I were an American League team, but they can take and beat anybody right now in either league. I think they are head and shoulders above. Now, does that mean that they're going to win the World Series? No, because baseball is the wonkiest of sports when it comes to the postseason. The NHL is not too far behind. But when you get into baseball's postseason, and especially in the early, the divisional series, when they're five games and you just need to take three, we've seen plenty of upsets in the past. And nothing will surprise me here, although I did go heavy on the favorites.
I'm glad you bring up the NHL, because let us not forget that we saw an NHL team rack up the most dominant regular season in the history of the NHL and get swept in the first round of the playoffs.
What are you going to do?
I don't think we're going to see it in with the Astros, but weird things happen in these two sports.
The NHL is getting underway tonight. A couple of games on tap, as Alex has mentioned. The Blues at home as a $1.55 favorite on the money line against the Washington Capitals. Since everybody enjoys hate.
Seems pretty high.
Does it?
The Blues, all the rigmarole of raising the banner, the emotions of thinking about last year. They play a team that good in Washington. Seems pretty high.
Since everybody hates on my picks, I'll give you a free one in the NHL. Just remember, you get what you pay for. I'll take Vancouver plus 110 on the money line tonight at Edmonton to open the season. It's Edmonton. They're not that good.
They're terrible.
They've got a really good player.
They've got a really good player and another really, really good player. And then after that, somehow they've had number one overall pick after number one overall pick, and they still stink.
And Smokin' Dave Cokin's Vegas Golden Knights open at home against San Jose tonight. So NHL on tap, opening night, raising the banner, and all of that at the Scott Center in St. Louis. We've got postseason baseball on the way, and a lot more ground we'll cover on tomorrow's program. We'll take a quick timeout and let you know what's in store when we return after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
6:48, we welcome you back in as we finish up on a Wednesday night. Again, a big thank you to our friends at City Tractor in North Liberty, the presenting sponsor on Wednesdays. You and I were discussing this in the office earlier today. There's another Manning on the way. This family just continues to churn out quarterbacks.
I was going to say, let me guess, he plays quarterback.
He does play quarterback. He is the son of Cooper Manning, which is the oldest of the Manning brothers, whose football career never got off the ground because of an injury. He is a freshman who's playing on the varsity, and Grandpa says that he looks better or further along than Eli and Peyton did at that point in time. So I'll trust Archie Manning's judgment on this. But
if he says that, I'm guessing he'll have some scholarship offers shortly.
Yeah, and I'm going to guess that they will be coming from the SEC for the most part.
Where's Lane Kiffin these days?
Is he still at Florida Atlantic?
Oh, he is. He's at Florida Atlantic.
So. Arch Manning, named after Archie Manning.
I want to see if Arch Manning has any offers yet. He does. Arch Manning, can you? No, this is too easy.
Ole Miss.
Yes.
And no, there's
one offer.
Okay, Ole Miss.
Got it.
Standing offer from Ole Miss for anybody who plays quarterback and has the last name Manning. I can't imagine the tremendous amount of pressure that, of course, if you've ever watched them, Manning, they don't look like they ever feel pressure.
No.
That family just spits out quarterbacks, but to have the name Manning, to play quarterback, and to now be a third-generation player, you got to think maybe every once in a while in the back of his mind he's thinking, yeah, maybe I should do something else with my life. Maybe I don't need to go down that road. Look how they treated my Uncle Eli.
Well, I mean,
and Peyton at the end. Peyton at the end was a shell of his former self also.
That's true. Are you just referring to how those guys were at the end of their career, like ineffective?
Yeah, I mean, people forget how good Eli Manning was. He won a couple Super Bowls, but everybody just wants to focus on what he is right now, which is the guy who's holding the clipboard for Daniel Jones.
Eli Manning is an interesting discussion because I know that there were people asking whether or not he deserved to be a Hall of Famer. The numbers are they're not what you are looking at as far as an NFL. As far as a pro or a Hall of Fame quarterback, but for God's sakes, he beat Belichick and Brady twice in a Super Bowl. You have to put him in the Hall of Fame just for that alone, right?
I'm also disappointed that we did not get a fantasy football kicker question for Tristan, because the headline today, the Patriots are without Steven Gostkowski for the remainder of 2019. He's, much like Jordan Bohannon, has been sidelined with a hip injury. So the Patriots are going to, I guess, turn to the practice squad or the waiver wire.
Is Cody Parkey available?
Oh, man. Watch.
He goes there and just doesn't miss.
I don't like to see Bears fans tormented like that, but he would go.
Sure you
it's
do.
It's the Patriots way. He would go there and he would never miss a kick again for the rest of his life. That's a tough one. Gostkowski's one of the better kickers in the National Football League, and I'm sure nobody out there has any sympathy for the Patriots at this point in time, but they've been bit by the injury bug this year for a little bit. They do not look invincible this season. And I say that every year, and then the Patriots are there at the end.
Their defense looks pretty good.
They're not going away. My wife says that. They've got a defense this year. At least one of our teams does. Packers as a 3.5-point underdog at Dallas on Sunday, though. I think that could be a close game. It could be a field goal game. If you're going to give me Aaron Rodgers and 3.5 points, I'll be awfully tempted on that one.
Over under 100 yards for Zeke Elliott.
I'll say they'll bottle him up and try to make Dak Prescott beat them through the air.
That seems like the smart thing to do against the Cowboys. It works, because Dak is not that good.
We will share our thoughts on those games and more coming up on Friday's edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We'll get inside the odds and ends with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. That's coming up on Friday. Tomorrow, we will have more Hawkeye football talk for you as Iowa heads to Michigan this weekend. Pro Football Hall of Famer Dan Dierdorf joins the program, and he'll give us the lowdown on Jim Harbaugh's Michigan Wolverines. Don't forget, we are here tomorrow and not at Mulligan's for the road trip. That'll do it for a Wednesday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. A big thank you to City Tractor of North Liberty. American League Wild Card action on the way next, Tampa Bay and Oakland.